The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Gabe from Thinking Outside the Long Box, and this podcast would not exist without the help of our Patreon supporters. Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, and Steve, thank you guys so much for participating with us at patreon.com/TOTLB. You have no idea how amazing it feels that you guys support our show. We want everybody to participate with us, so be sure to go to patreon.com/TOTLB and help us out so that you too can be added to the rolls of people that support the best goddamn pop culture podcast called Thinking Outside the Long Box in the world.
Live from Gabe's basement, where I'm pretty sure he hasn't jacked off. Today, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, Gabe, Tim, and Doyle.
I just like the little beatbox.
Do you normally start with one?
Huh?
Do you normally start with one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why that felt weird to me.
Because you're fucking weeded every time we
talk. I'm not weeded
normally.
At all.
Normally, I
it's
said.
It's because I didn't say Juan, only one John, time. And Gabe. Because John's not going to be on the show at all, for sure.
Why? Oh, today?
Today.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, he didn't die.
Yeah. John's He's fine. Dead.
Oh, man. This
gotta
is going
to have to get our pools somewhere else. Jesus.
Whoa.
Is that
Ashton? Somebody's jacking off.
Violently.
Oh, I didn't even see him walk behind.
Sneaky like ninja.
So I'm going to start off today on a downer note. I'm really sorry. So, like, 2 years ago, we went to Thinking Outside the Long Box, or to Denver Comic Con
I was like, where did we go?
We went to Denver Comic Con as Thinking Outside the Long Box for, like, the first time. We didn't go as press that year. We went, you know, as part of John's table and stuff like that. But a guy that I knew from Colorado Comic Book Enthusiasts shot me a Facebook message. Hey, you going to DCC? Like, you know, I need a ride. I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, we're going up, but we got to go kind of early because we got to meet there with John. He's like, yeah, it's cool. I don't care. Whatever. So that was pretty much the first time I ever hung out with Haas, who on Facebook went by Larry Dibbles and then later by his real name, Mike Powell. And I woke up this morning to find that Mike had passed away. You know, I wasn't super, super close with him. He was a good friend. You know, we talked a lot about comic books. We talked about the industry. He always wanted to talk about frisbee golf, which was really weird to me because I don't enjoy frisbee golf. I think it's a stupid sport, but he loves it. You know, and he was a dude that was full of life and sorry. Here's Gabe crying on the show because he's pussy and everybody can make fun of me about that later, but
it's Gabe crying about a friend that he lost. God, I think everyone can make an exception. It's not like we're watching Coco or the trolls
or movie. Any other kind of sad fucking movie.
But
any other fake movie that he cries at.
But Facebook, his last Facebook post was a meme of Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan, and Dan has a basket. An Easter basket on his lap with no eggs in it. It says, "You got no eggs, Lieutenant Dan." And I can't think of more perfect last words for that goofy bitch. So he'll be missed. I'm going to get myself together and we'll come back to the show. This one's for you, Mike.
Oh, are we taking a break?
Yeah,
oh, Jesus. Here, I'm just going to pause.
Completely withheld from all racist jokes.
Wow. We just recorded that.
And we're back.
Can we have any? No, there was none. I couldn't think of any. I would set him if I could to break the tension.
He was a white guy, so.
I know, that's why.
I think he's Mexican.
Was he? I don't fucking know. He looked white to me.
His name was Miguel.
I think I talked to him on Facebook a few times, but I don't think I ever met him.
His real name was Miguel. I don't know what his name was then. I never knew the guy, apparently.
His name was Mike, Larry. He went by Haas with us, so.
Haas, Mike, Dibbles, fucking Larry.
He invited me to like a comic swap once or something like that.
We have his face encapsulated in video.
We do.
Yeah, for your birthday.
He's funny. I love that guy.
I know him as
Gabe's. He was in the video. He flashed us.
That is right. is. See? Perfect last word. Got no eggs in today. You know, it's funny because I was thinking about my Facebook feed. And I was like, man, I haven't posted anything like angry or political for like 3 months, 2 months now. So if I were to die today, people would be like, oh, man, he was such a nice guy.
I don't understand why you need to post angry or political things.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I haven't. Like, I've calmed my tits.
Calm your tits.
It's kind of like the environment right now, though.
Speaking about politics, though, I do want to bring up...
Fuck Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, that guy. the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund and the National Coalition Against...
Censorship.
They put out a book, and I know I posted about it on the website. You can read the article. It's on the Horizon article, which I had to work on today.
TOTOB.com.
Yeah, TOTOB.com. But they put out a little comic. It's like basically like a 10-panel comic called Be Heard that's about protesting intelligently. And I thought it was a really cool thing for them to do because, you know, as both groups work, you know, towards, you know, anti-censorship and like, you know, comic book, you know, freedom of speech within comic books and stuff. It's a cool way for them to be able to say, hey, we understand that you have a voice and that you want to say something, but there's ways to do that as a human being that will put you in a position where you're less likely to get injured. You're less likely to start a fight. You're less likely to do these things where you can
destroy buildings.
Yeah. You can say what you need to say without, you know, getting into trouble, and there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And that's a cool thing for Comic Book Legal Defense Fund and National Coalition Against Censorship to do. So go check it out. It's called Be Heard. You can find it on either of their websites, clbdf.org or ncac.org. So yeah, that was my first thing today.
I like it.
I guess that was my second thing today. Basically, I'm just going to do serious, impactful things, maybe cry 4 or 5 more times. Probably. And then at the end, I'll be like, and you get a car, and you get a car.
Nice. I want a car.
I'm the Oprah now.
Oh, nice.
I'm the only person likely to give us cars is you are.
Wants those cars, by the way.
Yeah, don't give them away. Don't fucking come to me wanting a car.
They said on the show you'd give away a car. Get the fuck out of here.
I sell meat. I'm giving you guys meat. It's equivalent, right?
You didn't give us.
I want to buy you meat. That sounded rather sexy.
Not that expensive.
I
want to buy you some
meat. I do want to buy meat from you, though.
Yes, we work it out.
He's got about 4 inches of meat right now.
Depends if you 50 go from cents. Asshole to tip.
Tip to asshole, asshole to tip.
Four.
Those all got deleted from the last show, by the way.
Sure. No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
No way.
I swear to God.
Oh, my God. That'll be amazing if you actually did that for once.
I don't know if I can believe them.
Every single one of them.
I don't know. Some of them were pretty embedded.
The show's just all choppy.
Just wait.
Just hear me say, like, and that's why, like, blah, blah, blah,
blah. Blah, blah, just wait.
Oh, man, it's awesome. It'd be better if you would have bleeped them. That would have been funnier.
Yeah, but I don't like bleeps.
Oh, but bleeps are really funny. Sometimes bleeps are hilarious.
When you bleep the whole Dom thing in HOJ, I was dying.
Oh, dude, when I was listening to it.
Because nobody else will know what was said, but we all know.
I still don't know. I know what he said, but...
I think you bleeped
it was the
person.
John Still. No, it was them talking about John Still's name.
Oh, but they didn't say it because they don't know it.
Didn't know that John Still wasn't his real name, he asked me not to say anything. So I was bleeping out everything.
Yeah.
I was like, stop saying it.
No, more recently because
he was talking about somebody else.
Yeah. He might have been talking about payroll.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was talking about John's payroll.
There was something else that wasn't John. I think you were legitimately bleeping, like cursing or something.
Huh.
Was the part where he was like,
I don't remember.
401k even? I guess we shouldn't try to talk about it.
All this will be bleeped again.
Oh, man.
Wait for a few weeks from now, you will not hear what you didn't hear last time.
So, did anybody bring notes besides me?
I got one note. Dude, we talked about it yesterday, too.
You write the notes.
I know. Okay, so I'll go ahead and start. Watch a trailer for Ridley Scott's new show on AMC called The Terror, which is
I heard that was going to be really good.
Which is about people trying to find the Northwest Passage, and I think it may be semi-based on a true story or something, but it seems like it might also have like some kind of monster element to it. It looks basically
it's a Ridley Scott fucking show. Yeah. It's going to have something
like,
in it.
Have you ever seen like Horatio Hornblower or like Master and Commander?
I've seen Horatio Blow.
I don't want to know why you're watching Horatio Blow, but
4 inches of meat.
But like, it looks kind of like a like Master and Commander meets like Alien. You know, it looks really claustrophobic and scary and interesting. But I'm definitely going to check it out. It looked really cool. I like Ridley Scott a lot as a director.
Me too. So, I love Prometheus.
Prometheus is probably one of the best movies ever. Speaking of, I did buy it earlier this week.
Did you? You haven't seen it yet?
No, I have. Oh. It was one of the like super cheap movies at Amazon week. They do like cheap movies every week.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you loved it so much that you were like, I've seen this before. Now I have to own it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do that with – to be fair, I do that with movies I've only watched once. I just like owning them in case I want to watch them again.
I just love that somehow we've managed to talk about Prometheus almost every single episode for like years.
Because it's the greatest alien film ever made.
No, it's not.
I don't even know if I'd call it an aliens movie,
it's
though.
Not really. Oh my God, are we really going to talk about this again?
It's not an aliens movie.
We just lost 50 listeners. They're like, fuck, they're going to bring up Prometheus.
We lost all our listeners? Fuck.
Just. No, we have more than 50. We have like 58 or 9.
Solid 72.
Yeah, we lost them ever since Doyle started coming on.
Oh, that's not true.
I think I bring a unique element.
Racism's not unique anymore.
You gained that one. Yeah. That is what's not right.
The new Mexican voice of the alt-right.
There's not a lot of us. Like this. It's unfortunate.
He's so doughy.
Yeah, orange son of a bitch.
He keeps getting all over. Like when he's hugging me, he just rubs his grease on off on me. I get orange. It's weird.
It has to. Like, it can't be a real color.
I don't think so.
He's not the juicer guy who was actually orange.
Who was actually orange, right? From drinking too many carrots.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy doesn't eat vegetables.
How does that guy even sell juice? It's like, I don't want to drink the juice anymore because you're orange.
Right? Jack LaLanne.
Was probably that dead the guy? As fuck now, probably.
I don't know.
He's super old. Did your Toys R Us went bankrupt?
I did. And then, like, right after they went bankrupt, the founder of Toys R Us, like, died, like, the next day.
I went to Toys R Us Friday, and that place was a fucking mob scene.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. Just everybody trying to pick up everything on the cheap.
But like,
how does a toy store go bankrupt?
But like, the deals weren't even that great.
Amazon?
It's like 10, 20.
When's the last time you went to a Toys R Us?
Yeah, but I'm
33. I mean, but like, but when's, like, to get a gift or like anything?
I even have kids, and I don't remember the last time I went to Toys R Us.
I do buy everything on Amazon almost.
So the other part of it is
it's our fault, goddammit.
The other part of it is not only is it cheaper, and you know you don't have to take your kid with you to the toy store and have them ask you for 50 billion things. Like on top of it, Toys R Us's prices were inflated. Even when I was a kid, when I was a kid, going to Toys R Us was where you went to see what you wanted to buy at Walmart, you know, because it was going to be $5 or $10 less at Walmart.
And that's the thing. Whenever we go out, we go typically to Walmart. I don't want to go to Toys R Us where there's fucking 50 other little kids and there's probably screaming and nonsense going on. Walmart's just easier. If I need to grab a toy, it's there, and then I can do anything else I want to do.
Yeah, it's just their business model I just don't think was designed to last for a very long time because
didn't know how to adjust.
Yeah, they were more expensive. Even their online presence was more expensive than Amazon.
Yeah.
And then they started relying on like exclusives and stuff like that, but you can get fucking Walgreens exclusives now, so who cares? Exclusive is just a fucking sticker they throw on stuff.
Yeah, don't let the cats up in here.
Yeah. Fucking kill us.
Deadpool
trailer?
Yeah, Deadpool 2 trailer.
Forever Wakanda?
Fucking hilarious, most hilarious shit.
We'll call ourselves the X-Force. Yeah.
Isn't that a little No, but he does the thing like they do. Yeah. There was a whole meme about him and Black Panther and Wonder Woman all in one little meme doing it all.
Yeah. It looks fucking hilarious. I love that they're like actually building up the X-Force because it's my favorite X-Force.
I'm scared, though. They had to go do reshoots, and people are saying that it didn't test well, and that's why they had to go redo reshoots. Like, it's weird.
It could probably be a hot, it's probably going to be a hot mess. I feel like...
Speaking of someone who walks the same line, I feel like the jokes of that movie go for, it's a slippery slope. They don't always land.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's... Like we said yesterday, the Deadpool 1 movie was... pretty, like, sewed up. Like, we didn't need another one, but popularity demanded that a second one get made. So, I think people just need to take it for what it is. Don't take it in any kind of canon. Just be like, this is another Deadpool movie. He's going to do more Deadpool things.
Like, he's going to act like an ass and just do stupid shit, like, and it should be fun.
Well, they did reshoots so that Negasonic was in it more. And one other person whose name I can't remember which one. But there was two or three characters where the people who did the screenings were like, we want more of these people, I guess. And then they went out and did more of that. But
that's not bad, though. That seems like a good reason to reshoot.
It's just scary that it was like, nah, it didn't test very well. You know what I mean? It's just a weird, weird thing.
It is a weird thing.
Unfortunately,
at least it isn't like the laundry list of weird things. Like, we fired an actor, we got rid of a director. There's a new director now. There's another new director. Right. At least it's not. And then like the trailer is awful, and like we had to airbrush somebody's mustache out. Like, at least it wasn't like.
Damn it. I'm sitting here just like waiting to strike.
Like, at least it wasn't like. The stack of like, holy shit, this is going to be a clusterfuck. At least it's like, we had to do some reshoots because people wanted more Negasonic. Right. Like, that's good.
I'm excited for it. I want to see Terry Crews is fucking hilarious in everything he does. Yes. And he's going to be in this movie. So I'm just – all the little parts make me excited. Colossus was fucking hilarious in the last movie too. So
I'm excited. I love the – I've always loved the relationship in the comics between Deadpool and Cable, that weird like antagonistic like way they are.
And I don't know anything about Cable. I don't know why – I didn't know he was a bad guy even. So I don't
– But he's not.
He's not a bad guy.
But he's like the villain in this movie, isn't he?
Sort of. Like,
that might just be because Deadpool's an asshole.
That might be part of the problem with it, is it doesn't really feel like there's a villain.
Right.
Like, it's like a misunderstood good guy and Deadpool being a prick. Like, so I don't know.
I'm excited to see the movie.
And I hope it leads into an X-Force movie. I'd fucking love.
So I just read something this morning that was the plan. Is that this would be a lead into the X-Force.
Because I want to see what the fuck, like how in the fuck they make Strife on a movie. Because I want to see that giant, retarded 90s Rob Liefeld headdress.
I think they might just leave that out.
No, they've got to. Like,
that sounds racist.
No, it's not racist. Yeah, Strife is white. Oh.
It's okay when it's against white people.
I don't believe that.
You honkies. Your ridiculous headdresses that no one ever. It's not a real thing.
So I've been digging through my emails more for the articles, and we get – like I get a lot of stuff from like Dynamite and IDW and stuff that I can actually like read ahead of time. So I actually read Sheena, Queen of the Jungle, number 7. Sheena is like a fun character because it's a lady in a skimpy outfit fighting things in the jungle, and there's not a whole lot wrong with that.
Female Conan.
Yeah, basically kind of female Conan idea.
I think it's Frank Cho, isn't it?
Who does that? He's not right now. I would have written that down.
Okay.
It's out on Dynamite. It's a fun read, you know? Like, I don't know that it'll end up in my pull just because of how limited my pull has to be, but it's definitely exactly what you expect it to be. Semi-clad women fighting with spears in the jungle. Like, and that's fun. Yeah.
Fighting against spears in the jungle.
Like, fighting against each other with spears in the jungle.
less sexy.
No, not really.
Wow.
But no, it's a fun read. I dig stuff like that. You know, they're going to keep sending them to me, so I'll probably just keep reading them. So
makes sense.
But yeah. I haven't read a comic book in a while.
Go pick it up if you like that kind of... This is for Michael Kirk. This is like Jungle Fantasy, except for less pornographic.
Oh, wow. So go ahead and buy that. I don't know if Michael Kirk listens anymore.
Didn't he just call?
No. Oh, yeah, he did, actually. He did. I lied. I think he still listens. Yeah, yeah. So it was a call about you.
I know. We heard. Come at me, bro.
John.
Catch me outside.
John still has a segment coming about you, too.
Ooh. I've never beefed with John.
You bring it on yourself somehow, Doyle. You're starting shit you don't even know about.
John Still, I thought we were secret brothers.
Nope.
No.
Lord of the Rings is getting its own TV series.
What else?
It's just in the news. I don't know.
Because the ring is gone.
Like 14 fucking hours of that movie.
It's gonna cost like $1 million an episode or some shit. I read too. It's gonna be fucking crazy expensive.
They're predicting a higher budget than Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah, it's insane. It's gonna be on a specialty TV show, but I don't know which one. I don't know if it was on Amazon or Hulu or something. I don't know. Yeah,
I'm all in. Fuck it, give me more.
I love
Tolkien
them.
Trash. I love all that shit.
I love Tolkien, but I don't know. I have no idea where you would go with it. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just a retelling of Lord of the Rings of it.
Okay.
I mean, I'll probably watch it.
Can you do Gimli better than he's been done?
Can you do fucking Gandalf better than he's been done?
Yeah, Gandalf's pretty good.
Isn't Gandalf still around? Can't he just re-Gandalf?
Why would he redo the same story for a different company?
Wheelbarrows full money? Of money.
Yeah. The same reason Taika Waititi did Rock the Rock.
Yeah, good point. Because
I'm going to be fucking rich.
Yeah, I love Tolkien. I read even the shit that wasn't Lord of the Rings. So
yeah, the history books.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I like it. But it was just weird to see that it was going to be such a fucking huge price tag per episode on something that I don't even. Do people even watch? I mean, did the Hobbit shit go over really well?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did it? I didn't know that it did.
So it got released in like weird times of year. So it always came out at like number one. I'm pretty sure in general it made its money back.
Oh yeah,
but there was like a big push from like the.
I know they fucked the first movie with that stupid like they tried to shoot more frames per second.
Yeah,
I went and saw that shit, and I still want my money back for that.
But I think
it made the whole movie feel like it was fast forwarded. Like it was super stupid looking. Huh. Everybody left the theater bitching about it.
And I think there was like a big push from like churches to go watch The Hobbit for some reason.
Weird.
Like I remember there being like devotionals and all sorts of stuff because my dad was like way into it. My dad's not usually into something unless it's church.
I have a sneaking suspicion that they might be redoing it if the Tolkien family is who's pushing it because they hate the movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like them at all.
They have nothing but like hate and anger towards the director. What the fuck's his name?
Big dude.
Did
Pacific Rim.
Kind of like a white version of Gabe.
I can't remember.
Kind of looks like a hobbit, but he's not.
Yeah, he's from New Zealand.
Fuck is it? What,
did that, King Kong.
Doesn't matter, but basically the Tolkien family, like, they sold
Peter
him.
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson. they gave them permission to make the films and then, like, just, like, hated everything he did with the property.
Huh.
But because he bought the rights, you know, to make the films, they couldn't just like pull them back. So like they were like advocating to like not have the films made. So I'm wondering if maybe that's where this series is coming from. The family like, no,
I liked them too.
Right this time.
I liked the movies.
That would make sense though. I mean, yeah. And making a TV series out of those makes more sense than making movies out of them because there's so
He tried
much.
To make a fucking TV show out of it. It was like 18-hour long, four movies and shit. Like, he tried.
What's crazy, though, is that's like a little bit before its time. Like,
right.
If he would have tried to do that now, he would have been wildly successful at it, but just a little bit before its time.
Pretty good, successful.
I like
they were.
Movies.
I'm just saying, like, if he would have said, I want to do a TV show with Lord of the Rings now, Netflix would be like, yes, please.
Yeah.
But 10 years ago when Lord of the Rings came out, that wasn't really a thing. Like, it wasn't a way people watched TV.
One of the few movies I remember having on VHS.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
For real? Is that long ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I have VHSs of them too.
Well, that's not surprising.
It was like a special edition that I got for my birthday or something. Like so a, it was a little longer like a than the long one.
Well, because I know I have the Blu-rays of it, and they're like, I think the full running time of it, it's like 14 it's or fucking 15
long.
Hours.
Yeah, yeah, it's very long. Yeah.
I have the
especially with the quadruple false ending at the end of the third movie.
Yeah, I think I have. I went all out and I got like the big collector box for all of them and like all bonk. All six films, right? Because three Hobbits and three Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I think the total running time is like a week.
He definitely fucked the Hobbit into more movies than it needed to be, though.
Yeah.
And that was a small book. That was actually, as compared to the other books, the Hobbit was like actually thin.
How they made 300 or three movies out of like a 280-page book, but only three movies out of like 12
those are huge books. Those are big books.
Yeah. That's a wheelbarrow's full of money. Will do for you. Right? Can we make it longer? Yeah, we can. Totally can.
Whatever you want.
I need to get on this wheelbarrow right? train. Like, right? I gotta find some way to get.
How about
those.
We put the dwarves in the barrels down the river for like a fucking hour? Yeah, it works.
We need to install a camera in here. That's how you get full wheelbarrows full of money, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's too much access.
No, that's exactly the point, bro.
Yeah, we need more access. Speaking of which, I'm about to come up with a production company to come back at all these assholes trying to come at me. Lamp show.
we didn't even mention his name.
Oh, okay. So I bought unicorn cereal. So let's all find what.
Can we just take a second to appreciate that sentence?
Yes. So let's all.
I don't even know what that is.
Let's all find like our Loops. Unicorn name.
It appears to have
Fruit Loops that taste like magic.
A colorable back though. Which
so
is
my
nice
unicorn name is Twilight Spirit Dancer.
Yeah, damn. You're a fucking cult leader.
I am a cult leader.
Let's see here.
Or
I
a Native
am,
American.
I am Duchess Both. Moon Clover.
Duchess Moon Clover. I like it.
Sunbeam Glitter Blossom.
They seem so accurate.
These are like legitimately decent unicorns. Jesus.
Quote of the show.
What the fuck? Okay, Rainbow Featherwind.
Oh, you got the only crappy name.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
You failed us, Kellogg's.
Maybe when you fart or something. I don't know.
They call me Featherwind.
So
it's not a good name. It's a unicorn.
Like. You're like the autistic elf in the fucking universe.
We don't really like Featherwind.
Rainbow Featherwind.
Shoot arrows. Oh, man.
Only we knew John Steele's name, we could figure out his rainbow.
Oh, we don't know, but Tim knows, and he's an a-hole, and he won't fucking tell us.
Tim?
It's a beautiful thing, knowing.
You don't have to tell us, but you know the first letter, so you could do the rainbow. Like Kellogg's name.
So
I can't because I don't give it away. You know what?
How can the first letter give it away?
Because you still won't know. You'll just have a hint. So let's find out here.
So what's the first letter?
Actually, I don't know his birthday. Does anybody know John Steele's birthday?
No. How the fuck? I don't even know his name. What would make you think I know his birthday?
Just assume it's in January. All right,
so.
Which, by the way, is the only thing negative I've ever said about the guy. He's making a thing about me.
I think it has to do with the rampant racism.
The fancy crystal
racism's
dazzler.
All fake.
Fancy crystal dazzler?
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. Where's fancy?
So it starts with an F.
Because we gave him a fake.
So his name starts with an S.
We gave him a fake birthday, though.
It's totally Steve.
Steve McQueen.
Steve, you've been portraying this weird white guy.
So going podcast, back a little bit to movies that are really, really long.
Movies that will suck?
No, this won't suck. So we all saw the Infinity War trailer, which is fucking phenomenal.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it. So before every major Marvel movie comes out, they do a full run of the phases from like Iron Man to
Kirk, right, okay? Right.
And obviously, because a new movie or maybe even two and sometimes three new movies come out before like the big like tentpole movies, these screenings are getting longer and longer and longer. And at this point, the showing of the full like range of Jesus Marvel Christ, movies yeah. before Infinity Wars is now a 31-hour showing.
I'm all in.
Dude. I'm ready. Could you really go to the movie theater for 31 hours and just watch it?
How expensive is that, I wonder?
I think it's like $50.
Because I think
that's a good value.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's not that bad.
I think Alamo's doing it.
Yeah. If I remember right, because I think last time
I could do it at Alamo.
You'd just be sitting there getting all fat and shitting yourself.
Well, last time I went there, too, their air conditioner was broke. Ooh. They were unapologetic about that, and it fucking sucked.
Yeah, they're probably like, stop being big.
Well, you can probably...
No, it wasn't just me. People were straight leaving.
It's doable because, I mean, you could sleep right through Iron Man 2. What else can you sleep right through? You probably sleep through Age of Ultron.
I enjoyed Iron Man 2.
At least half of it. The first half of Ultron, you just sleep right through it.
It is definitely a lot of buildup.
Consequence happens in that movie until the very end. No, you could sleep right through Thor 2, actually, as well.
Probably.
So there you punctuated at least phase one. Some people probably argue you could sleep through Ant-Man, but that's one of my favorites.
Oh, I love Ant-Man.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone shit talk Ant-Man.
I have.
Look at you, Z2.
Mostly podcast. Because they're...
Z2?
Yeah.
Let's start with beef with Z2 now.
I don't know if they listen to our show at all. I think our shows are too long for them.
I think our shows are too entertaining for them.
Ouch! It's called comedy, bros.
I feel like they would have heard Tim talk shit about him at some point and told him.
Oh, they bash me all the time. They bash me because my favorite character is Dr. Doom, and they bash me because I like Ant-Man.
A lot of people love Dr. Doom. Yeah, I feel like Dr. Doom's like a fairly loved character.
Dr. Doom's fucking awesome.
Even though Fox has tried to destroy his life for two movies or three movies now.
Please, it's too soon. It's too soon. It's still pretty fresh.
It's like we've all lost somebody today.
Oh, now we have.
Yeah. Wow. Woo, making fun of death.
Somebody did die today.
Fuck Doom. Dibbles. He would have laughed at that fucking joke.
Yeah, he would have fucking. He'd be cracking up.
Dom's going to laugh cry through that whole thing, man.
Statistically speaking, a lot more people than him died today.
This is true.
I didn't know him, though.
What do you think they're all from?
They're a lot of sad guys. Statistically speaking, probably China. It's not a continent.
Oh, your grasp of geography is amazing.
It's not a continent.
I know. It's just funny.
But that's true. I mean, they have the most people there. Yeah, so. That's true. That's just statistics. Fucking Dibbles.
Plus their country is
I never knew his name.
That's funny to me. Like, he's an awesome guy. And
You're like, hey, we're awesome picking up some dude. And I was like, all right, because we were in my car. I was like, okay.
Hope you don't mind.
And then it was, we're not even picking him up at a house. It's a gas station just close by here. I was like, what the fuck?
Like, the dude was totally, you know, he was totally self-sufficient. He wasn't, you know.
No, he was cool. He was very thankful. He was very nice.
Like
one. Yeah.
Like, completely looked like a hobo all the time, and I loved it.
He's putting deodorant on in my car, and he's like, bitches like it when you smell good. It's like, what the fuck?
I was like, all right, bro. I asked him when we were walking in, I was like, hey, what's your main goal of this con? Like, what do you want to accomplish this con? He's all, find a woman. he's the best.
It was funny.
That is a goal.
You've been living your life all wrong.
Usually I'm just like, how can I not pay?
Have
for
you
all
even
ridiculous?
Have you even gone to
what?
Did you go to the last cons? We don't ever see you. I was gonna say we haven't seen you in forever. So
well,
on to
working this ridiculous job for the last 2 years. Sucks my will to live, and not my penis, unfortunately. I'm gonna do it for you this year, doubles. You're gonna find me a bitch
from.
It might be Tim, but we're gonna do it.
Oh.
Hashtag do it for Dibbles.
We might get some sympathy poop. Probably not.
Not for me.
We'll see about that.
Oh man.
John Still, you better be there.
Well,
I wonder if we would know him if he came up in real life.
I doubt it. No.
I've seen pictures.
Yeah, we've seen one. Oh, I've seen right. one picture one of picture him.
He's like wielding an axe.
Yeah, and yeah. he claims that he didn't fucking do, you know, crop it or touch it up to put those abs in.
Maybe he didn't, you know? Maybe he's just.
You don't know
yoked.
His life.
I don't know. I think he sent one of him and one of Sugar Tits.
Yeah.
What? I mean, it's super gay. I remember what he looks like, and I don't remember what Sugar Tits looks like at all. I don't remember the photo at all. But I, like, to a T, remember his photo.
But not his wife.
It's amazing. She's like a draw in the ad. I know. They're like, she got big old titties. And Doyle's just sitting there like.
He's like, oh, man with a shirt off so holding an axe. Yeah.
Guy looks like White coat. I'm so hard right now.
They're all sluts.
Wasn't Conan white?
I mean,
he's Sumerian.
From some fictitious
what
place.
The fuck does that mean?
He's brown. He lives in the mountains.
Oh, okay. So. All right. Wait, brown people live in the mountains?
No, he's like, always, he always gets sunburned and stuff.
He's brown. He lives in the mountains.
He's
duh.
He's always dark one. Like the Nepalese.
Schwarzenegger didn't look dark at all.
Depends on how much the law is.
Dude, Schwarzenegger didn't look like Schwarzenegger at all, apparently. There are several stories of, what? That guy sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Thank you for posting the Arnold Screams mega cut. Though.
Yeah, you didn't like it, but you're welcome.
I didn't like it because I just haven't liked it.
I didn't see that post.
He's not on Facebook anymore.
I know. He's a little bitch.
He's off again.
So from a TV show that we think will be kind of decent to a TV show that I think will be horrible, they're making a Street Fighter TV show.
Oh, I'm out.
I'm all right with
it. Is it animated?
No. Live action.
Oh, my God. I'll allow it. Dude, the last Street Fighter.
Street Fighter trash.
The show, the cartoon was fun because it looked like the video game.
Right.
Yeah, they haven't made a successful movie yet.
The movie, which, man.
Why isn't that?
I own them.
That's a Doyle pop culture classic. Right
yeah, Street Fighter.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is Guile. And what the fuck's his name? Gomez Adams is M. Bison.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can remember this. From him.
You know, I do own it, but it's not.
There it is. The truth comes out.
I think I own it.
He's like, stop talking shit.
I own every Van Damme.
He's like, that's it. It's my next pop culture classic.
I own every Van Damme movie. Oh my God, that is the most obvious statement.
I mean, I just would.
I don't know that actor's name, but sadly, I think that's his last film. The guy,
it
Gomez
should have
Adams.
Been. That was the worst.
I think he dies shortly after that film.
Probably a good
That movie. Dude sucked some dude's dick to get that job, because he's not Bison.
No.
Yeah, he's...
Like, I don't know where that was. Like, what?
And they had the two
Well, maybe
random...
they just couldn't get anybody to be in the movie.
Oh. Like, they're all Street Fighter? Nah, I'm out.
That sounds stupid. Who stars in it? Van Damme? Fuck no. That guy's career is dead.
Clearly right? Acting wasn't a prerequisite for the role. So you just needed to go to the gym.
For any right? of the roles.
You? Can you just flex and...
Right.
The fact that they... Oh, that's stupid. What was the green guy again? I can't remember his name.
Blanca.
The Blanca was the worst in the movie, though.
Well, he wasn't really Blanca in the movie, though.
No, they just made him, like, forced him to watch terrible videos and pumped him full of chemicals and straight up, like, the Green Hulk TV show.
All of the
TV
videos
show
are just
looked better.
Those pop culture plastic pics.
It's going to come now. It has to.
That's the same way the rage virus starts in 28 Days Later. It's just runs
Somebody
of
just
Doyle's
watches all
pop culture.
Of Doyle's pop culture classics.
That wouldn't be a puzzle.
He's
that.
Infected. So angry.
So racist.
My pop culture classics. It's hard to do that, actually.
Not really.
My pick is Birth of a Nation again.
Jesus.
So,
what's the movie with the ding 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 ding?
Deliverance.
It's so terrible.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Puck with the butthole. I mean, that's not bad. Yeah. I mean, like, it's that.
Yeah.
That noise is forever associated with you're gonna get fucked, boy.
So I had a super Robert E. Howard week. I read.
I don't even know who that is.
The guy that writes Conan.
Oh.
I read Sword of
Sounds
Solomon
like Robert
Kane,
E. Lee.
1 through 6 from 1985.
He was white. You can't be racist.
Robert E. Lee fought for the South. He's racist.
And then I don't even know what happened there.
I mean,
And then I read the last three issues of the Dark Horse Conan run. So it was good. They were written by Colin Bunn. They were a little more gory and violent than they typically are because he's, you know, he likes doing the monster stuff and the creepy shit. It was just, it was a lot of fun.
You want me to reach out to Colin again, see if you could talk about Conan?
Dude, I would love that.
Yeah. You know, these people who we've already talked to, they may just be like, yeah, cool, let's do it again.
So get Colin Bunn back on the show.
Okay, you got to remind me, though. That guy.
And Tyler Crook. And, well, I'll give you a list again.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Anyways, but...
Tyler's funny.
I'm super excited to see what Marvel does with Conan the Barbarian. Hopefully they do, like, a series with it. But I'm bummed to see it leave Dark Horse because Dark Horse brought like a totally new sensibility to the comic book that I really, really liked. So, I don't know. I'm a Conan fan. So whatever comes out that has Conan the Barbarian on it, I'm going to buy. So good on you, Marvel, for getting my first book and a pull from you guys in probably like 2 years. So besides, Spirits of Vengeance, which was a mini. So, two of my – first of all, one, thank you for reintroducing me to wrestling. I fucking love wrestling again. I have been listening to a lot of podcasts. I listen to Wrestle Ramble. It's really funny. And you'll probably hear about these on my – what? There are other podcasts article that comes out on www.totlb.
I needed you to give a bad podcast review at some point.
Oh, yeah. That'll happen. Right now – right now, I'm just reviewing podcasts that I listen to.
Right.
But there's a few that are in there where I'm like, ooh.
I highlighted truthful in my description of what his articles were. Hopefully he tells the truth.
There are way more bad podcasts than good podcasts. That's not hard to do. Yeah.
Some of them advertise on our show.
A lot of people say that we are.
I don't think so.
I've never heard anybody say we're
bad. The only person I've ever heard who dislikes this podcast is my mom.
She doesn't dislike the podcast. She dislikes you.
There's a lot.
The Doyle character on the podcast.
She doesn't like what I do, obviously. But you guys aren't doing a whole shit as much.
Why? Because we talk about dicks and cum and.
Yeah, she doesn't enjoy that. As far as the best of my knowledge.
How many kids does she have, you liar? She you fucking liar.
She used to enjoy it.
They're all sluts.
Wow.
More fine words. Yeah. Not to mention, she's not far from here.
I know.
I dodged the chocolate.
Also, your stepdad hates my guts.
I don't want to say nothing. I dodged the shotgun from the last fucking story he told us.
Oh, man.
Put you down like that dog.
Yeah, Jesus, your childhood was fucked up.
It didn't get any better with the stories you were telling yesterday either. Holy shit.
Unique.
You know? You have the weirdest shit happen to you, man.
Is that why you have asthma, always running away from your mom?
No. I think I have asthma due to the poorly ventilated room that I was forced to stay in as a child. Probably the impoverished nature of my upbringing.
Basically mostly basements and under stairs.
I slept under a table for some time.
It was basically Harry Potter without
a baby. I'm a wizard, mom. Get back under your table!
You know, the coolest thing about sleeping under a table is you can make it into a tent at night. The shittiest thing about sleeping under a table is your siblings will kick the fuck out of you.
Anyway, going back. I know Juan's not a huge fan of this guy, but I also listen to two of Jim Cornette's podcasts.
I didn't say I wasn't a fan of Jim Cornette.
You said you didn't like his podcast the last time I brought it up.
I don't think I've ever listened to his podcast.
Oh, well, you should listen to it because it's funny as shit.
I just don't have time to listen to a lot of podcasts.
He is hilarious.
Just wait when you come on the trip in July with me. When we drive down, we'll be listening to podcasts from December still.
That's okay. I just am
way fucking behind.
That's okay.
You could just like Smodcast Network the entire trip, though. There's so many.
That's what I do. That's what it's like. It's about 18 hours typically, so.
So Jim Cornette is also a huge comic book fan. Oh, so like he has this crazy expansive knowledge of the history of you know, a certain era, the territories era of wrestling, and some into the past because he does a lot of research and he's really into it. He's also a huge fan of comic books. So he's actually paired up with IDW and they're going to be running a Kickstarter to do effectively a comic book kind of like Hip Hop Family Tree, where it's like a historical comic book about the history of wrestling.
Don't both of those people / companies have a lot of money?
Yeah.
Why the fuck do they need our money?
I think they want to do a Kickstarter to gauge... No, I think it's genuinely to gauge interest. And I don't know that IDW does have a ton of money. And
when at our expense.
Are you guys interested? But they also,
we don't want to pay to find out.
They also want to do like exclusives and giveaways and stuff like that. So,
all right.
Who is it again that's charging like $85 billion to get their signature?
Oh, man. Frank Miller.
Frank Miller?
Holy
it's not
shit.
A lot. I mean, $100. Hold on. I paid $100 for a. I mean, because Stan Lee was the same thing.
But that's for
Stan
a Lee.
Photo op.
Right, it was the same thing. It was a photo or a signature for $100.
Stan Lee's slightly more important than Frank Miller. Also, was soon to die.
Like, at any minute, Stan Lee could pass away.
That's true.
That is true.
Could have died during your photo op that you paid for.
I saw...
The flash could have been too bright, and him just go, and it would have been our fault.
And our picture would have been worth a lot of money.
Yes.
The last photo of Stan Lee.
Yeah, I did. As soon as they put it up and it said one day only, I was like, I wonder. And then I looked at the packages and I didn't scroll down far enough and I saw the 500 and I was like, holy fuck, Jesus! It's one picture and like four signatures
you
or
really
something. That is a fucking
mail?
Lot
Could
of
you
money.
Imagine if you got if the TOTOB photo with Stan Lee was what killed him.
Oh yeah.
He'd be the most popular.
But most people would listen
ever.
To us.
Yeah, we'd never get some track.
The episode would just be called "The Day Stan Lee Died."
Oh, that sounds terrible.
I mean, you could name this episode that and release it the day Stanley dies.
That's just terrible idea.
It can't be that long from now. It could just be the next time this podcast gets released.
This is true. I mean, but the
it's a lot. It's a lot of money. The problem is that it'll sell out.
Neil Adams isn't even.
It doesn't,
that
buddy.
Much.
It's going to sell out.
Oh, no, I don't doubt that at all.
So, but that's what I'm saying. That's why they do it, because people will pay.
Here's my problem with it is, and this is just personally. I would love to get some of the Frank Miller stuff that I have signed, but I'm definitely not going to pay that kind of money for it. But I'm definitely not going to buy the package where I have to sit in a room with Frank Miller for 45 minutes because the guy is like notoriously just cranky. Like, I mean, that just seems like people that want to get that package are going to be like, yeah, I want all this cool stuff. And hey, it's nice meeting you.
Frank. Maybe he right. just wouldn't even do it unless it was that expensive.
I wonder that. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's weird.
It feels like fan abuse to me, which is why I don't like it. Because at this point in my life, if I wanted to, I could afford that. But also, I'm just like, how many times can you fucking charge the fans for something?
Here's the thing. I'm not really –
so
I don't really
know
anything about Frank Miller except for he wrote the
Dark
Knight. That's it.
That's all you –
Daredevil and
– But I just – I'm not a big – like you, I'm not a big
– It's just like that would be big enough because that's like
– I'm just not a huge – you know what I mean? I'm not a huge comic book guy. Like I read a lot of comic books and I have a shit ton that I need to read. But I'm not connected to the history like you guys are.
Right.
And so Frank Miller's just another dude who's charging $100 for a signature to me.
And that's what burns me is like he's a huge name – But so is John Romita Jr., and I can go up to him and get a signature.
I got his signature for free, and he drew some then for me.
I can go up to any modern comic book artist that's at the con and get their signature for free.
Or just a couple bucks. I mean, not a lot.
Art Bellman was there. He's way more important in the history of comic books than Frank Miller is because he like created some of the characters that Frank Miller worked with. And his signature was fucking free.
The problem is you need to not blame Frank Miller, and you need to blame the people who fork out the money to do it. Those are the people to blame. The reason why he charges $100 for anything.
One Neil Adams signature for a reason is because he charges money for it. And
it wasn't even that much, though, because I had – yeah, it wasn't that much money,
but
though.
But still, like –
It's
I
just both sides
I
of the aisle.
He sat there and talked to us for like 45 minutes. So it was a good thing.
Talk about Hollow Earth.
Which is fine. I'm fine.
Funny
that.
Funny to me.
But you should totally just do that interview.
Oh, no, I would love to do that. Like I'm way more open to hearing about the Hollow Earth than the Flat Earth. That's all I'm going to say.
I think they're both probably true.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's like, I don't even know how that works.
It's flat.
Flat and hollow.
But it's deep. It's flat and it's deep. It's probably round. Shaq, you simpleton.
Oh, man.
I think he was being, I think that was a joke is what I read, that I he was still, fucking around.
I still want Shaq to be upset at our show. I wanted to get that tweet. Shaquille O'Neal, shut up.
I'm with John still.
I'm bitch. With John still.
I'd be like, dude, Shaq like really listens. He knows.
Somebody, that's funny.
Somebody knew about your show.
I'll fight him. I'll lose. I'll fight him.
Motherfucker's huge.
That's why I said I'd lose.
Oh, man. Motherfucker's
got
adventurous.
Get my ass kicked to prove a point.
Hey, maybe I'll get one shot in. You never know.
It's not going to be an eye.
That's all right.
It's going to be like this jumping, stretching, like reach out punch.
His wife is fucking tiny. I'd go for the nuts. They're right at my face. Fucking be biting and scratching all kinds.
I don't want to aggravate
yeah.
him.
Gay, real
that's
fast.
All right. I don't care. If I'm fighting for my life, bro, you need to watch your balls.
I think Dom Kim's going to meme what? Exactly about that this week.
That's just a weird fight. We all came to watch a watch. I'm fine. That Doyle's blue. Is this a charity event?
This is a weird.
Coming for you, John.
This is weird.
This got weird quick. Now Doyle wants to blow Shaq.
Maybe we'll battle
to,
entice him.
Opportunity arose. I mean,
we're back,
can you turn it
are
down?
We back to wheelbarrows full of money?
Yeah.
I'm going to be fucking rich.
Are you going to sell the sex tape or what?
Well, yeah.
See, that's one of those things. It's like, yeah, I don't want to do it. But if the opportunity came, it's like, can you say no?
If, are you doing it just for funny? Just for fun? Because I would say no if it was just for fun.
Just for, it's not for fun. It's just how many people can say they've done it.
I would. Now I'm out. I'm out.
It was impressive.
I'm pretty sure the whole Hollywood like sexual harassment thing happened, dude.
No, if I'm blowing Shaq, I think he's the sexual harasser. I'm not going to be able to blow Shaq without his agreement.
But how does the subject get broached, though? Are you like, hey, man, do you want me to suck your dick? Or is he like,
suck my dick, boy?
That the fight is about to happen. And in fear, I transition.
So it's like,
to be more pliable.
So it's like a sexual Stockholm syndrome it's situation. Like,
I don't feel like getting my ass kicked. I will blow you. And then, unfortunately, he's down. And then we're in a weird rabbit hole after that.
Fuck, I just agreed to something.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I'm not going to say no, because it's like I'm still getting my dick sucked, but it's bad.
Fat Mexican.
Yeah.
I'd call you and make you record it for the show at least.
Oh yeah, yeah, I would hope so. Jesus. All the horrible shit you said on the show, you better owe us that.
See, I'm not racist. I would totally blow Shaq. I'm the only one here that would blow Shaq.
That's gotta be like the name of the episode. I'm not racist. I would totally blow Shaq.
He's dead.
That's a big black dick swallow too. I gotta tell you.
Oh, yes. Stop.
I assume it is.
I swear to God, if that's not the episode, I'm gonna be really upset.
Oh man.
I'm not racist. I'd blow Shaq.
Let's bring this back.
That's gotta be like a shirt we made for the show. I'm not racist. I'd blow Shaq TOTLB.
I'm gonna make that his next shirt.
Oh man, not Jesus is a Komodo dragon because we have that written down as his next
shirt.
Oh
shit!
I can wear both shirts.
I'm not racist.
I almost threw up right there.
Not racist. Oh. I'm writing it down.
You killed the show, Doyle.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't wear that shirt. I'll wear it.
It's the totally that really does it for me. I would totally blow Shaq.
Burr.
Sure.
So a lot of people are saying that Jessica Jones is failing women of color.
Is she okay. A woman of color?
No, because she doesn't have enough women of color in her show.
Can we stop?
I agree with you.
Everybody calm down.
Well, it's just,
well, they
it's
say
like, it's like my problem that I had with Altered Carbon, where people are like, why isn't the...
I only saw one or two episodes.
Why isn't the Asian guy being played by an Asian? Because he's literally in fucking someone else's body.
And he starts out as an Asian.
And he is through like a good chunk of the season. It's like, you dumb fucks. That's the point of the motherfucking show, is that his consciousness is in somebody else's goddamn body. So the Asian guy isn't Asian because he's in somebody else's fucking body.
Like, are you still Asian?
Appreciate.
Are you still Asian if you're an Asian just in somebody's body?
Well, no, he was born that way.
No, but I'm saying, are you still? Am I still Mexican if I inhabit somebody else's body?
I don't know. See, then that's the thing, and that's like a big part.
That's
of
like
show.
The bestiality conversation we had the other not last animals, time.
Sir.
No, the last time I'm talking about. Well, I'm referencing an episode.
I was just like, dude.
Well, like, I mean, that's like a big part of the show. Like,
don't spoil it.
When you're getting thrown into somebody else's body because you're coming out of, you know, the stack, which is jail, they just put you in whatever's available.
Right, right.
And so you wake up like you went to sleep as a white middle class suburban lady, and you wake up as like
Doyle,
a 9-year-old black girl. No, they try to keep the gender the same.
But the girl that got put in like the grandma body.
In the grandma body.
After she had a car accident.
Yeah. I mean,
that'd
or like
be fucked up, dude.
And they talk about how like that fucks with your brain because your identity completely changes,
right.
You know? And that's a totally valid question. You go in as a Mexican, you come out, and you're in like a black dude's body or a white guy's body or an Asian guy's body. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, why is that, you know?
Penis size may vary.
Why is that clearly Asian guy's name, you know, Juan?
Right.
Because when he was born a Juan.
You know? Juan.
Juan of many.
So it's just that I'm with Doyle.
So the me too. So the article goes on to say that because I've only seen one episode of Jessica Jones too. So yeah, and I actually it was a funny episode, but because there's a guy that when he gets mad he runs really fast like the Flash, but only when he's not when he's mad when he's scared. I'm sorry. So nice. It's the effect for it is fucking hilarious. It looks really weird, but the article says that it does really well with feminism and you know, women and all that kind of stuff, but not for colored women, which is, I mean, you don't, like you, I don't, I feel like you don't have to put every minority into a everything. Fucking everything in the world in order for it to work.
You start to delude, like, creativity when you do that anyway.
Well, and doing it for the sake of doing it is how you end up with shit.
Plus, Oprah's about to be president next. Like, get over it.
No, she is not. No more celebrity presidents. Reagan sucked. This one sucks. She would suck.
I'm just saying it's likely.
She doesn't know how to run a country.
Yeah, but her vice president, Vin Diesel, dude.
Like,
sorry, I vote for that team if it comes out.
You are part of the fucking problem.
They will give me a car and they will teach me to drive that car. Doesn't matter if you win by an intramile game. That'll be their slogan.
Xander Cage.
That's a good fucking slogan.
You've changed my mind. I'll vote for him. God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I would watch that TV show all fucking day, man. Except for NBC.
I just want to see him campaign. I just be like, God damn, they're good.
Vin Diesel's just beating people up.
Yeah. Did Vin Diesel just slam that Republican
while shouting, "I am Groot"?
Oh man, that was amazing.
There's a lot of other news still, but
I know I have.
We've been
more,
going for a long time.
I have two that I want to cover really quick.
Two.
Walking Dead. I was digging through my to read boxes and came across the fact that I haven't read an issue since issue 155 and I'm on issue 176. So I read 21.
Gets, did you catch up to the New World Order?
I'm two issues away from it. Okay. Like
I'm on. I have three left of that run to go. I have the one where Negan. It's like it looks like it's going to be a standalone issue about Negan by himself, and then the first two issues of the New World Order. So much fucking crazy shit happens in that span. Like, so I feel like I'm going to give away this spoiler alert really quick.
Spoiler alert!
But
spoiler
this alert. Is literally for a comic book that came.
Fast forward three minutes.
Yeah. So. There's this scene in the issue right before the Whisperer War where Negan is with Alpha and he's just like talking to her and he seems like he's kind of flirting with her and she starts crying and she's, you know, I'm weak, I'm not strong enough to like lead this group. And he's like, it's okay. But also there's this and he like fucking cuts her head off with a knife. Holy shit, dude. As I was reading it, I was like, oh, I remember how The Walking Dead is now. Because like, I haven't watched an episode of the show for a while, and I hadn't read an issue of the comic book in a couple of years, and I had forgotten how just fucking crazy brutal that comic book can be sometimes.
Especially Negan.
Oh, especially Negan. Holy crap, it was amazing. Like, the Whisperer War was really cool. And then still on the spoiler alert track, the issue with the death of Andrea was fucking...
It was hard to read.
It was hard to read. Like, because, you know, Andrea died forever ago in the TV show. So if you just watch the TV show, you definitely don't have the same kind of emotional attachment you do to her.
It's like Carl dying.
Yeah, it's more than Carl dying because in the book...
No, but I know, but that's like the recent death in the show for people who follow the show. No, I'm saying,
but like in the comic, it's more than that because she literally was in like the first issue of the comic book. And made it to like, I mean, aside from Carl and Rick, I think they're the only original characters left in the comic book.
I think so.
So, oh no, it's crazy. It's a really good run. I'm really excited to get into New World Order. Like, I'm really close to it. And I think I...
Also, you can catch up really easy in Walking Dead comics if you haven't read them.
Because they take about...
they have those giant...
Panels.
The omnibus?
No, the giant... that are only like $20 for like 60 comics.
And they're fast. I think they're like $30. They're 30 issues.
Are they 30? They're just huge. That's all I know. I got them.
The first two take you to like right around issue 60. Because I have Omnibus 1 and 2, and then the two trades after that. And that took me to... That took me to issue 115, and I have from 115 on in single issue. So, like, but there's – I probably committed time-wise like an hour to reading 21
those
issues.
Those gigantic omnibuses take like 45 minutes to read.
Yeah.
They read real fast.
The way they're designed and written and stuff, they're really, really quick reads.
The show's good. The viewership picked up. The ratings picked up a little bit last week, and it featured a big fight between Rick and Negan, which was fucking cool as shit.
Nice.
It was really cool. If you missed it,
I had to give myself a couple week break
because of Carl. Yeah.
What a bitch.
I know. I put this tough guy exterior.
See, that's why I try not to have emotions on this fucking show.
Play this tough guy on the outside, but on the inside, it's just sad.
I was like, yeah, I hope Carl dies.
So, my last thing before we go to break.
I didn't believe he was going to die.
No, like, me neither. But it's cool because in the last episode, they think – so there was some weird lady with two other people who pulled up and they traded information. But they didn't know they could trust her. And there's a lot of people who think that that girl is the girl who you're going to read about in the New World Order already. And that they're kind of foreshadowing that in the future. Like because the lady
been talking to you on the radio.
No, so that's a whole different area that they're at right now. But this lady drops off supplies and then they meet her and then she's like, I want three cases of albums of fuck are they called?
Like photo albums?
No. List music. Records. There you go. So she just wants three records. That's it. And she's like, and I'll give you knowledge. And she doesn't say anything about that. And she has stuff in her truck, but that they don't want to trade that. But at the end of the day, they end up trusting her and blah, blah, blah. And they end up giving her the three fucking bins of records. And she gives them plans for like aqueducts and windmills and how to grow things and shit. It was a really cool little moment. Cool. So it was the lead lead is that maybe she's in a whole nother, because in the book, and it's not a spoiler, but in the book they say in their community they have like 50 to 100,000 people or something like that. Wow. So it's a giant, so it's a huge group. Yeah. And so
Rick is like protecting in the comics like 100.
Right. Yeah. So it's pretty cool in that and she says, I won't, you know, it'll be a while, but I'll come back and hopefully you are growing things and making, you know, clean water or whatever. So it was a cool little foreshadow to something that might happen in a season or two.
Nice.
It was pretty cool.
That's neat. I'll watch it the same way I always watch it. I'll binge watch it like in the, you know, in between when it's actually coming out instead of watching it as it comes out.
Which is weird because you have the ability to watch it now.
I know. It's just the pattern that I've already developed, so I always do that now.
Fear the Walking Dead and Walking Dead will finale and come on at the same night. So yeah. I'm fucking excited for 2 hours of deadness.
So this one's just for you, Juan. I saw the trailer for this. And I was like, Juan wants to watch this. Have you seen the trailer for YouTube Red's Cobra Kai?
Yes, I did see that. I was like, man, this guy's a bad guy, but this is like his redemption story. Like, it doesn't come off like a I feel like
Daniel LaRusso is going to be the bad guy.
I feel like he's going to be the guy that's like, oh shit, I need to look on myself. Like, I'm not being a good guy. Yeah, I saw it. It was cool.
As soon as I saw the trailer for it, I was like, Juan's going to watch
this. How do you say just with a Mexican, like, shitty accent?
What?
How do you say just with a Mexican shitty accent? Like, you know how the J's sound different when you use the Mexican accent?
Yeah.
So how do you say just that way?
What the? Why are you wearing that? Where is this coming from?
Because I want to see like a segment like yes for Juan, shitty Mexican accent.
Yes for Juan.
Yes for, no, yes. Most Mexicans know how to say Juan.
Yes for Juan.
The Juan I had good. I couldn't get the just correct.
I was like, Mexicans don't get Juan wrong.
Wait, what? You're a Mexican?
A lot of white people do, though. It's fucking weird.
Do you get called Juan a lot?
I get called a lot, and nobody knows how to spell Juan, even though there's fucking billions of us on the planet.
I think my name, in seen and written form, should be very simple. D-O-Y-L-E.
Doyle.
Yeah. Nobody gets that right. Doyle? Dole? I'm like, there's a fucking Y in it. Doyle? Why would it be that?
Doyle with cheese?
That's why Lane started calling me the Doyle with cheese or Grand Doyle with cheese because people at church kept calling me that back in the day. I used to go to church.
Surprised your ass didn't burn up in flames.
I know way more about Jesus than most of you. Just saying.
He was my homie, Jesus.
Probably was.
Jesus?
Probably was a commander. You know, it's funny because my name is pretty much impronounceable to people that don't know Spanish. So I feel that.
Yanez?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, almost nobody says my name right.
I like to call you Llamas. But...
And then Bailey, I spelled her
Lawless?
Name.
Lawless?
Llamas.
We should call you Lawless.
But then he's like Lucy
That's a
Lawless.
Cool nickname.
I'm okay with that. That sounds like a biker name.
Gay warrior princess.
Strangely okay with that, too. No, but
call
Bailey.
Him by his unicorn name.
Bailey, her name is written with a GH. Like, it's.
Oh, her name is fucking weird.
It's LEIGH at the end. And so, like, her name is completely unpronounceable.
That sounds like one I could see people fucking up.
It's one I could see fucking up spelling.
Anyone ever fuck up your name, Tim?
Tim.
No, fucking white bread.
Tim Husky.
You can't say Tim Husky right now.
Like, then you're from a different country.
You definitely sound like a redneck.
Yeah. Time.
Team.
My name is Team.
Timothy.
I'm going
to
go.
All right, take us to a break. Yeah.
I'm going to beam check.
Hi, I'm Alex. I write Arcadia for Boom Studios, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Hello, I'm Albie.
And I'm Heather.
And we do the Quantum Leap Podcast. It can be found at quantumleappodcast.com and also on iTunes.
We are starting at the beginning of Quantum Leap and going through all the episodes. This is my first time watching, and Albie has seen them during their original run.
In each podcast, we talk about the overall thoughts of each episode. We do an episode recap if you haven't seen them in a while, just to refresh your memory. And then we do a detailed plot discussion.
And we also have some great interviews.
Scott Bakula, I remember being very, very generous of spirit and very, very kind to his fellow actors. It was my first kiss ever. So I am getting to kiss Scott Bakula on screen.
And everybody involved with it was just terrific. And I'm always amazed that people come up to me and remember that episode and can quote things from it that I can't even quote.
So if you're a leaper, it'd be great if you came and joined us. And if you've never heard of Quantum Leap, it's maybe a good time to start watching it because you have a podcast to go along with it.
So please give our podcast a listen and hopefully you like us and stick around.
Go to quantumleappodcast.com to listen to new episodes.
From your shoulders.
Do it fast.
All right.
The time's wrong. No.
He might as well just kill me then, too.
Caleb Colton no longer belongs to our world.
We give him a week, see if we can call him one of us.
He belongs to hers.
But you have to learn to kill.
He belongs to theirs.
I don't want to kill.
He makes you kill tonight.
And they all belong to the night.
It's 3 hours short for a bus to get home. You help me out?
What are you on?
Believe me, I told you.
Don't think of it as killing.
Amen.
Amen. Don't think at all. It's just something that you do night after night. It's only ever a question of how.
Nervous. I would be too if I were you. Near Dark.
Who your boys fall in with control? Check out time.
Bought yourself some time, son.
Like, damn, this is my family, let it go!
Lines in that movie.
They're all sluts.
Hey, we're recording again.
Oh, and we're back.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Swallow first.
No, sorry.
He caught.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, man. I didn't look any of this stuff up for this.
Near Dark?
Yeah.
Do you think he could shoot from the free throw?
while you were blowing him?
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's
maybe
ready,
that.
Getting ready for the money shot, you just go stand underneath the hoop, still can't make it.
He is a pretty terrible shot at the free throw line. Even I know that, and I don't fucking watch any of that shit.
I don't even watch any of those basketball sports.
I don't even watch none of the sports balls.
Sports balls.
All right.
You got notes or what?
I'm pulling it up right
now.
Beyond notes.
We moved beyond the notes section.
So I didn't watch
so
it.
So you just listened to the trailer for 1980s. You just heard the trailer for 1987's Near Dark, directed by Kathryn Bigelow and written by her and Eric Red. It stars Adrian Pastor, Jenny Wright, Lance Hendrickson, Bill Paxton.
Who might be alive?
Who is not?
You Jeanette, by the way.
Jeanette Goldstein.
Who we're having after this, you'll hear an interview from.
An interview with. So it's ostensibly a movie about vampires, and they drive around in a car, and it's kind of like a punk rock vampire movie.
And like living out of a van also.
Yeah, it was definitely...
Hashtag van life.
So they're poor vampires.
Yes, they are kind of poor, rednecky, like punk rocky vampires. So this kid, he's out on the street hanging out with his friends in front of a bar or whatever, and he sees this really attractive girl, and he spends the evening with her trying to get her to give him a kiss through the whole night.
Or the first 30 minutes of the movie. The
first 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, shit.
And she won't give him any action.
Good Southern Belle.
in the end of the night, she gives him a kiss and then bites him on the neck, turns him into, or gets him on the way to being a vampire.
Oh, so he's not even the vampire yet.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So, I'll be honest. I didn't watch it. I've been feeling like poop for the last 3 days, so. I usually try to watch it Friday or Saturday before we do this so that it's right in my mind.
Picture post of the screen.
Yeah. I just haven't been feeling good.
So it came out right after Fright Night and Lost Boys. So, like, vampires were kind of trendy at the time.
Right.
But this is definitely, like, the kind of low-budgety, Western.
You don't say.
Like, punk rocky, like, DIY version of those movies. Yeah. This was in heavy rotation with my group of friends with movies like Suburbia and Repo Man and stuff like that. Like, it is low budget, indie, crazy time. Like, it's just a weird little movie that's a lot of fun. I don't know. I watching it last night, I dozed off a couple times, but I feel like I've seen it enough times to remember how much I
feel
like
it's because you're old.
It is because I'm old.
As soon as you're like, come here at 9 tomorrow morning. I was like, you old.
That was actually
bastard.
Partially because of him. Yeah, I knew he was going to work.
I was
so.
A little tired last night when I left.
Like, he came over to our house and hung out all day, then went home to take like a nap for an hour and go to work. I was like, dude, what are you doing to yourself?
And then I get off like right before the show starts, typically.
Yeah. And then Shaq gets off about 5 minutes after that.
Five minutes, huh?
Better than that.
The joke that keeps on giving.
Blah, blah. Face, neck, and chest.
Wow.
But I don't know. I really dig this movie. It's like, it's one of my favorite kind of like punk rock DIY movies.
All definitions, a cult classic too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And evidently very underproduced. If you don't have an Amazon Fire Stick, good luck.
Yeah. Dude, it's actually pretty hard
and
to find.
And we are by no means advocating for breaking the law. So.
Yeah, I just happened to watch it on TV. Yeah.
It was just playing.
It was awesome.
Shh, don't laugh.
It's a good time. Like, honestly, you should go back
so
and
what
watch
So what's the plot? Spoil the movie for
Literally
me.
Literally the plot. Like, guy falls in love with girl. Girl is a vampire. She bites him. He gets kidnapped by the other vampires because they're going to kill him because he's not supposed to know about them, okay?
Even though he's now a vampire?
Right, because she's inadvertently made him a vampire. Mm. Basically, she just got so caught up in the moment that she bites him. And the other vampires are like, look, we had to teach you how to be this. Like, and we don't want our way of life destroyed.
Right.
So we're going to kill him. She's like, no, I can show him how to do it. I can teach him how to be
so
one
it's
of us.
Kind of like Blade.
Yeah, but he's bad at it and hates them and they're mean to him.
And he reverses it for the chick.
Yeah.
And then she finds a cure. It's totally different.
Yeah. They basically.
Well, but I mean, like in Blade, there's they're the vampires that they don't want, you know, humans to find out that they're they exist.
They're
so they want to do their own thing.
They're not trying to rampantly spread their seed,
right?
Yeah, and they're just a group of like poor, like dirty vampires. You know, like the guy that leads them is played by Lance Hendrickson. He looks like a crazy cult leader, like Bill Paxton's basically like a punk rock guy.
Lance Hendrickson, that's a.
Also,
aliens, right?
Yeah. And Millennium.
You want a crossover?
Yeah, like so. In
they just went from set to set,
and they
are we vampires there or space marines?
But it's cool. Just like a, it's kind of just like a crazy like. Snowball.
And then they find a cure for vampirism.
They find a cure for it. It has to do with some kind of blood transfusion thing, and then
very similar to Blade, actually.
Yeah, and they. And they they cure the one guy, and he goes to save the girl. And
does she want to be saved?
Yes, they want to be with each other. And then they go. It
you
turns
can't have a 30-minute mating scene that leads to no mating.
Yeah,
in the movie.
Well, but some people when they get to a point, they don't want to be different anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it's true.
But then they, you know, it turns into a final showdown. And you get the, you know, that when they hit sunlight, they like catch on, like they turn. Like they char,
right?
And then they catch on fire, and then they fucking explode.
So it's exactly like Blade.
Movie. Yeah, it's
depends on which Blade.
Well, the first Blade.
The first Blade has the most spectacular vampire seeing the sun effect. I think.
Yeah, that's where they
Blade Trinity. She like gently washes away.
But in the first Blade, they take him up, the leader guy, yeah, and they fucking rip his teeth out. And well, no, then two, he, sorry, like, catches on fire and then explodes.
But, dude, they should have... Okay, so it takes away from your dark. They would have done that kind of seeing the sun effect at the end of Blade 2 while Wesley Snipes is, like, holding his love. That would have been fucking awesome. She, like, turns into blood and guts is melting all over him and fucking explodes. Just ruining the romantic moment. Wow.
They had cool that different
would be,
vampires.
That would be an entirely different ending yeah. to that movie. You are correct.
They had cool different vampires in Blade 2. I like those. With the crazy fucking mouth.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, but she's not one of them, though. She just...
I like how this conversation just devolved into just...
Well, now it's movies. Vampire movies, yeah.
That's kind of where Near Dark takes... I don't know.
Because, like, Near Dark on its own, it's a really good movie. Like, it's a lot of fun. Like, it's an entertaining 80s movie. But it does a lot of things that... ended up getting used other places better.
Because was Lost Boys before it?
It came after it.
Which is, it's weird that Lost Boys has so much love. Almost nobody that, even knows that Near Dark exists.
But didn't that have like a group of famous people in Lost Boys?
So it had a group. Yeah, it had a group.
Yeah.
No. It didn't have heavier actors.
They were skinny.
It had more teen bop actors. Yeah, it had like pop culture teeny. Like on the cover of Tiger Beat.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So they were more famous. There was in a group of them too.
And it wasn't even that they were more famous. Like a guy, like, you know, like the people that are in Near Dark are famous. They're just famous like in a more serious adult actory way. Whereas like the people like Kiefer Sutherland and stuff were famous for like 13-year-old girls kind of thing. So. I think that's the difference, is it was like a teen boppy pop culture thing. So way, way more people went to see Lost Boys than
Death
Near Dark.
Stereo.
Underrated vampire movie? 30 Days of Night.
Is it underrated?
Oof.
Most people I know like that movie.
I love that movie.
I hate that movie.
I thought
now you know why.
It was a little over the top.
Must be why I love it.
The screeching that they make, I just can't take.
That's not it.
It like completely took me out of the movie. Okay, so let's do this. So Near Dark is leading us to like vampire movies in general. Juan, what is your favorite vampire movie?
Oh, it has to be Blade. It was probably the first, because you guys are I don't want to say so much older than me, because you're not that much older than me.
I got
you
by
like you're not that much older than me, but I don't have a connection to Lost Boys or any of those. My sister might, because that's around when she fucking loved that movie. No, I get that, but again, you grew up with, you know, when it came out and shit like that. I fucking adored Blade. It was cool as shit. You know, it was probably one of the first, you know what? I'm going to change my mind. The other one that I like is fucking, it's From Dusk Till Dawn. That's probably my favorite vampire movie, actually. Blade is really good. We were just talking about it, and that's a really close second, but I'm guessing From Dusk Till Dawn is probably my favorite one.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I love that shit. I love any kind of fucking horror movie, as weird and cheesy as it's going to be. I fucking love it.
The hard left turn that From Dusk Till Dawn makes from crime movie to vampire movie is fucking perfect.
Yeah, that movie's also two different ways. But in a better way.
Definitely From Dusk Till Dawn.
How about you, Tim? What's your favorite?
I'm kind of torn like Juan. I like 30 Days of Night. I know a lot of people don't care for it. I like it. And then I also liked Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, okay.
Oh, see, I didn't...
It's a little faggy, but I enjoy it.
Oh, wow. Jesus,
Doyle. Well, I'm not over here blowing Shaq, so...
That's a lot faggy.
You got me beat on the faggy.
Doyle's either anti or full in. Yeah. No halfway's faggy.
He's blowing Shaq out of spite. He's like, I hate dick sucking.
I'm either against it, or I got a dick in all the way down to my sternum.
I hate it so much, I'm going to show you how good I am at it.
Wow. Just to prove a point.
Fucking quitter.
Oh man.
Hey, what is your favorite vampire?
So I also have two favorite vampire movies, but for two very different reasons.
Hold on.
It's hard to have hold just on. One.
Keep talking about his favorite vampire movie.
Okay. So talk about
actually his favorite vampire movie comes out of books that I really like.
I did love the interview with the Vampire series.
Dude, like, Steve's going to be nonstop shit about them.
Well, they are like basically romance novels, and she does use the word preternatural like 500 fucking times.
I didn't pick up on that as a kid reading them for some reason. Like, I was lost on the romantic part of it.
Oh, it's very romantic.
I've read them since then. It's basically fucking Twilight.
You know, Anne Rice, that's how she got her start. Anne Rice got her start by writing basically porno books.
Huh. We're talking about vampire, our favorite vampire movies.
Oh, okay. So
this is live on YouTube.
Okay, so
live on YouTube.
So yours were one, just to reiterate.
Blade and From Dusk Till Dawn.
And I was 30 Days of Night, an Interview with a Vampire.
So I am a huge fan of the Spanish language version of Dracula that came out at the same time as the English version of Dracula. They filmed the movie at night on the sets, but I feel the actor that portrays Dracula is better than Bela Lugosi's version of it. It's a pretty interesting take on it.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. But my ultimate. I
don't know what that means.
That makes sense. It all makes sense now. It makes perfect sense.
But probably my actual favorite vampire movie is the original Fright Night. Like, I love.
Fright Night's the shit.
I loved
Deep Pool.
I love kids that solve problems in movies. Like, I loved. Like Monster Squad or Flight of the Navigator and stuff like that. Like I was just
Flight of the Navigator.
So if they made the Boxcar Children movies, you would go watch those?
Absolutely. Like when I was a little kid, I was all about little kids saving the world.
Nice.
Okay. And I was a huge fan of horror movies, and I loved the like take on the Hammer horror guy or like the late night, you know, TV show guy that was introducing the horror movies, and the kid's like, well, he knows everything about vampires because he does this stupid late night TV show. And that's totally a way I would have been when I was a kid, where I would have bought his character hook, line, and sinker.
Oh shit, somebody gave us a thumbs up already.
And been like, oh nice.
We have one person watching, and I don't know how to tell who that is on this thing.
I think you just click on that.
Is it you,
John Steele?
Nope. That's all right. Keep talking.
Anyway, but yeah, this video is us just watching Juan fuck around with the phone. Don't change the filter.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, but yeah, I fucking love Fright Night. I love that idea of the kid. Nobody believes him that a vampire lives next door. So he like gets everything together and fucking goes to kill the vampire.
You know, that's another good one is Bram Stoker's
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah. And I like John Carpenter's. I like that one too.
Vampires with the dollar sign. That movie's garbage, dude.
I enjoy the hell out of it.
As far as garbage movies, I like it too, but I know that it's bad.
The Bram Stoker's Dracula, the one with
Chicken's fucked by a werewolf.
Gary Oldman.
Keanu Reeves is in that too. That movie's fucking phenomenal. Whoa. For me, that's the most underrated vampire movie because people don't give it a ton of love, and that movie's fucking amazing.
Don't even know that it exists.
What about the one with Leslie Nielsen in it? Where they
Dracula
make fun
Dead
of it?
Yeah. That has one of my favorite scenes in a comedic horror movie where they stab his chest and blood just comes out of him for like 5 fucking minutes, just like a fountain of blood all over the place. That made me laugh so hard.
Yes. We never got to yours. What are your favorite vampire movies?
Vampire Brooklyn. I'm sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Actually, dude, that was kind of funny, but it's not my favorite one.
Deep pick.
Let the Right One In, is that what it's called?
Oh, that's a really
probably
good choice.
Probably my favorite vampire movie.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Let the Right One In?
It's about a little kid.
You guys, okay, huh. So there's two versions of this movie. There's a version that comes out from Norway. It's, you know, so it's got subtitles and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's a little queer to say that that's the better one, but it is.
But it is. There's a remake of it done in English that is good, but not as good. The plot revolves around a little kid that makes friends with this girl that lives next door to him. And she is this like feral beast of a vampire, but she's friends with the little boy. So like everyone that she attacks, she's like protecting him. Like, it's fucking amazing.
So people who are picking on him or something like that? Yeah. Okay.
It's a really good movie. Dude, it is dark and creepy and, like, just the cinematography, is specifically in the Scandinavian version, is so, like...
How old's the movie?
Man, I want to say, like, maybe, like, 8 to 10 years. Definitely worth watching. Really, really good movie.
Right on.
There's a scene in when they're in a swimming pool. Whew. Like, that movie is awesome. Just tense and rough and good.
Yeah, it's very solid.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a blowjob from Doyle.
So, yeah.
Just wrap my lips.
Any other vampire runner-ups?
I'm trying to think of, what other vampire movies are there?
There was that really shitty one that was in the Dark Universe. The Universal Dark Universe? Was it like Dracula, the Untold Story? With the guy from the Hobbit movies?
Now, least favorite vampire movie, go, because that's easier almost.
Go, you go.
I don't have
we'll
any
go the other
least
way around.
Favorite vampire movies.
You don't?
No.
The new Dracula is pretty terrible. Dracula
3000 or something like that?
Yeah, that's
the one. Not as bad as Dracula 3000.
Because that's my choice. Dracula 3000. The movie's a fucking steaming pile of hot garbage. I hated that fucking movie.
Once you go 3000, you're not doing it.
I don't think I watched it, but I heard it was not bueno.
It's one of the few movies that somebody intentionally rented at our house that I turned off. That I was like, this is stupid.
You know what? Runner up. All right, I got another runner up. Because it's an anime. Vampire Hunter D.
Nah, I'm out.
Oh, yeah.
Don't hate.
Vampire Hunter D is pretty sick.
Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah,
dude.
I love
What's it.
It
called?
Vampire Hunter D.
Oh,
and then
never
they made
heard
a
of
sequel
it.
Called Bloodlust, which is fucking amazing.
I actually like Bloodlust a little bit better than first one.
It's one of the few situations where the sequel is way better.
It's a situation up in here.
Never heard of it.
I don't know.
What about you? Least favorite? You said Dracula 3002, Tim?
Huh? Yeah.
Christ.
I've never seen it, so I don't. Oh,
it's bad. Don't bother. Like, seriously. Normally, I would be like, yeah, go watch it. Torture yourself. But seriously, don't bother. It's awful. It's fucking terrible.
It's not bad in, like, a The Room way where you should still go see it because it's kind of amazing how bad it is. No, this is, like, just a legitimately fucking garbage movie.
Another movie that I hated when I was a kid because I didn't really understand it was Lair of the White Worm. Which is also a Bram Stoker's novel. So they kind of tried to vampire it up because it's a Bram Stoker's novel. But going back and watching it again, it's such a weird, like, art house version of, like, a vampire movie that's actually pretty cool. And randomly has Hugh Grant in it. So, I don't know. It's weird. It was a really weird movie. Steve and I rented it for a shitty movie night one time, and it ended up being fucking amazing. Like, we got done with it, and we're like... I remember this movie being, like, way, way worse.
Twilight's pretty close to the top of my list of movies I don't like.
Oh, yeah, Twilight.
The first one...
I don't count those as... That's,
so I actually, like, I'm pretty...
Oh, God, here we go. Doyle revelations.
No, I'm pretty easily entertained when it comes to subject matters that I like. You don't have to try very hard if it's a vampire movie. Like you said vampires earlier... That's a terrible movie, but I still like parts of it because it's like they're hunting vampires. When they start playing fucking baseball in Twilight and they have to wait for the thunder to strike because that's how hard they hit the ball to disguise the noise, I fucking left the theater. Because I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about?
It's not because the bats will snap in half or you'll obliterate the fucking ball. It's because the noise is so loud. Hide it behind thunder. And then a fucking rumble happens. As I was leaving, I saw it. The fucking black guy and the Shatara chick who's... The other squad is totally 80s. That comes out of the woods.
Yeah. You know what we didn't talk about was Underworld.
Oh, that's right.
I fucking like Underworld.
I love those movies.
I'm
not sure if they're number one.
It gets way out of hand real fast.
I loved all of them. Even the shitty last one was it where she comes back in the future. And like
Back to the Future,
she's looking for a daughter.
Oh, if they're, I mean, I liked the first two, and then I thought they got a little
they do
weird after that.
They do.
So Near Dark, thumbs up.
Oh, for
thumbs
sure.
Down.
After we talked about every middle. Other vampire movie. You know,
the reality is, though, is that that's what Near Dark does. Near Dark is like this movie that has like all these ideas for like a modern vampire movie that end up being in other movies. They end up being in Blade.
Stole a lot of shit from Near Dark, and like.
But then nobody knows about this movie. Yeah.
Should we talk about the idiotic revelation that you guys had yesterday that I heard about?
Oh yeah, we should talk about it. So we've interviewed two people, or you know, we're going to be interviewing a second person that is in Aliens, okay? And then we've interviewed somebody that's in Near Dark, and we started talking about Bill Paxton, like how big of a get these people were.
Right.
We started talking about Bill Paxton, how big of a get he would be, and then
it's
Tim,
all over, man.
And then
it's
Tim,
weird that I was the voice of this.
And then Tim reminded us.
Weird.
Tim reminded us that Bill Paxton's dead, so we will never be interviewing Bill Paxton because we're morons sometimes.
We'll set up Skype.
We did talk about having the first ever TOTLB seance.
We'll pull up the Skype. You know, and we'll have like a fucking Ouija board.
I got a Ouija board back there. We can go get it.
No, bad things happen.
Channel built
back. He'd just be like, game over, man. Game over. Sharpen sticks.
I have a feeling just like really ridiculous one-liners happen.
So for me, Near Dark, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
I didn't watch it. So.
Just say thumbs up, asshole.
Thumbs up. I like vampire movies, so it'll probably be a thumbs up.
You should definitely go back and watch it. You should.
Yes.
You like
I'm
going
to leave Facebook.
You can
totally wait. Before you leave. Before you leave, be sure to go visit us at www.totlb.com. You can find out more about the podcast, listen to all the episodes. This will be on episode 83, so be sure to check it out in a couple weeks. Bye.
Woo! Yeah, but we're not done here, are we?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. you just stopped talking.
All right,
well, you got to wrap up the video.
Show's over.
Game over, man.
This is like Showception. We finished the live feed while still recording the pod.
I know.
Get some.
But that's what I'm saying. This will be on episode 83, so go listen to episode 83, and you can still hear us bullshit for like another 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Day in the core.
3 hours?
Just another day in the core.
Fucking, I'm down. God, what does he say? It's like every meal a banquet, every... Fuck. What does he say? It's aliens. It's totally different.
Sometimes you have amazing moments. That was
so. We need to talk about Office Space. That's next. The next one.
Yep, next episode is Office Space.
I remember why? It was like, it's a really weird segue.
Do we even need to watch it to just talk about it right now?
I haven't watched it in a while. It's been a long time.
Love that film.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
I've seen that movie so many times that I don't need to watch it again.
So,
I will because it's funny.
When they start playing "Die Motherfucker Die,"
die motherfucker die.
Hey,
I need you to stop talking about the movie right now. We're just talking about it in the sense that we're watching it next time.
Well, I know that. That's why I'm getting my list of.
I need all you listeners to go ahead and come into work.
Okay, so next up is Office Space, and then Gods Must Be Crazy, and then we're going to be reading From Hell and watching the movie. So if you haven't started on Reading From Hell and you're following along,
it's a comic. It's a big-ass comic.
But it's a big-ass comic.
Okay.
I can send you home with it today if you want.
I knew the movie was based on literature. I didn't realize the literature was a comic book.
Yeah. Here, I'll go
grab
it.
You idiot. Right.
Fuck, I don't know.
The movie was okay. That's why I was surprised that even...
The movie I don't love, even though I picked it. I just wanted to have the comparison of the two. I didn't hate the movie either, but it's... Right. Talk about that more.
Holy shit, that's huge.
Yeah. All right.
I also have the
fuck, bro.
Companion book if someone needs to do it. If you want to read more From Hell.
Oh, it's Alan Moore, no kidding.
Yeah, it's good. Definitely worth reading. So
it's no V for Vendetta, but it's good.
It is good.
I'll give it a shot. No promises, but I'll give it a shot.
I guess I could have chose V for Vendetta and the movie. But
so yeah, Office Space, Gods Must Be Crazy, From Hell, also From Hell.
And then
we're back to
Jason, and then us. So, and I will do. I'm going to note this down because we keep having issues with this. But reach out to Jason.
Yeah, he'll listen to this too.
So that
hopefully he didn't show up at John's today.
I don't know.
It's just where's the pet? Where's the cat?
Yeah. I don't think I made an announcement about it, anyways. So usually I'm like, hey, we'll be at HOJ.
But we were not today.
Yeah.
John had something going on, so.
Yeah.
Me, John.
Birthday party, something like that.
diarrhea birthday party, something like that. That's why we're not invited anymore, is because you keep telling diarrhea jokes.
Asshole.
I make up for it by spending hundreds of dollars at one time.
Oh, man. For all your comic book needs, if you're in the greater Denver area, go to Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles in beautiful Parker, Colorado. I'm sure John would appreciate your monies.
Where you can buy...
From Hell?
From Hell?
My latest... God dang it. Old Man Logan, which is the latest floppy copy.
Oh, yeah, floppy copy. Yeah. Yeah.
I know we have been... he has this run series because I sold it to him. He definitely has the hardcover, I think, too. So.
And we've definitely been doing a lot more articles on the website. So visit www.totlb.com. Floppy copies from Doyle on the horizon.
You should do like a drawing tutorial.
You should do a video game article is what you should do.
Oh, okay. No, you should do a video game article.
We'll just call it Tim's thing. I don't know.
Ooh. A lot of people will come to see Tim's thing.
Especially if the logo of it is like a giant floppy dick.
We'll call it Big Husky.
Okay, now you're getting full of yourself.
Sold.
Or Little Husky.
Little Husky's better.
It's really like you're...
It's like average Husky.
You're either, you know, it's not full Sasquatch, but it's not really a Furby either.
It's a gremlin. You can't let it get wet.
Or it turns evil.
That'd be a terrible dick to have.
But it does like to get wet.
I'm pretty sure Body Count has a song about that. Evil dick.
But it loves getting wet, and it loves food after dark, so it's not really a gremlin either.
You feed your penis?
You don't?
I mean grapefruit.
Oh.
Burn.
Deep old, pool. Old joke. Awesome.
It's a deep cut.
Deep cut.
Break?
Yeah, we're taking
finish
a quick break.
With some news, old then old man shit?
Yeah, let's do a little news and some old man. My old man pick is...
I don't want to do old men.
Pretty passive, so...
It's Dibbles.
You don't do old men?
I don't do old men. It's not my thing.
Yes,
Doyle,
you do.
Is that you?
You're in
that?
Shaq's pretty old now, so technically, yes.
Oh, with that, we'll be right back.
This is Ross.
This is Heath.
From Half-Life A Place in the West. This is from Thinking Outside the Long Box. A very great broadcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. On the line, I have Jeanette Goldstein. You guys know her from Aliens and Lethal Weapon 2. But, of course, we're talking to her today about Near Dark, which was our pop culture classic on this episode. Before I start, I definitely want to mention that on April 21st, she's going to be at the Upright Citizens Brigade in Hollywood doing a Sunday night sex talks on a Saturday. And, of course, you can visit her shops in California called Jeanette Bras, which sell bras for the large-breasted lady like my wife. So how are you today, Jeanette?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing quite well. You know, every interview that we do, we kind of start off with the same what's the origin story question. And what I was really curious about is what's the origin of you ending up in Near Dark, like as an actor in the film?
Oh, that's an easy one. I've come back to Los Angeles for the premiere of Aliens. I'd been living in London. I was married to an Englishman and went to drama school there. And was cast there. So when it premiered, I came back for the premiere, and I was staying at my mother's house, and I got a phone call from someone who said they were a friend of, you know, Jim Cameron's and Catherine Bigelow, and that he gave her my phone number because I didn't have an American agent or anything. And I was like, oh, that's nice. I'm going to send you a script. Is that okay? And yeah, of course. And that's how Catherine found, you know, she found me, and I read the script, and it's amazing, really just a beautiful, poetic script. And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I want to, you know, be involved in this. And so that's how I got to this. The funny thing was that Lance Henderson and Bill Paxton had also, you know, been given the scripts and talked about it, and they loved it too, but they were too embarrassed to talk to each other. Like, we would go out with each other. Well, what are you reading? I don't know. What are you reading? And each was like, I don't know how I'm going to say that I really like this vampire Winnebago Western. You know, it just sounds, it's, you know, I'm going to be last. So neither of us mentioned it, you know? And so, like, I don't know, one time we were hanging out, and one of us said, hi, there's this kind of weird. And he's like, wait a second. I'm reading this, too. It's really great, right? So that's how we all kind of, you know, got into it. It was through the, you know, James Cameron being, you know, a really good friend and a mentor to Catherine Bigelow.
So at the time there was kind of like a glut of vampire movies. You know, Fright Night kind of put the European count into the suburbs, and then like The Lost Boys kind of gave you the Tiger Beat body vampires, whereas Near Dark is like this gritty, dirty Western vampire movie. Like, how do you feel about, you know, kind of Near Dark's legacy as like a cult classic and just kind of a much grittier, edgier version of a vampire than you were seeing in the theater at the time?
Well, I'm really glad it actually became a cult film and that people got to see it, because, I mean, unfortunately, when it was released, I mean, we hadn't seen The Lost Boys because they came out on the same weekend, which was kind of unfortunate, you know, for us, and because none of us were, you know, in Teen Beat magazine. But, you know, and got George Romero's films amazing. And it's an incredible, I think it's one of the best vampire films, and I can name other ones too, but it's really great that it was talked about, and every sort of video store owner, when somebody would say, come to the counter, and they say, nah, you don't want that one, you want this one. And they would, you know, it was that guy in the store. And it you know, and all of a sudden it got, you know, re-released in a different version, and it's really great that people have got to see it.
You know, it's funny, when I was younger and kind of like the rough and tumble punk rock kid, this movie was in really heavy rotation with Repo Man and Suburbia and stuff like that, because, you know, Bill Paxton's character, like, even though he's Western-y, he's got his spurs, he's also got the leather jacket with the buttons, and everyone's like, oh yeah, he's the punk vampire, you know? And we saw Lost Boys as kind of the, oh, those are the glitzy guys, and, you know, this movie's about the dirty people like us, so.
Yeah, no, he was definitely Jim Morrison. He was definitely channeling Jim Morrison, and I mean, it was great. We all got to, you know, we got to create our characters, you know, and kind of turn them into who we were, like fill in the backstories, because it's very little, it's a very spare, like I said, poetic script, beautiful, you know, and it left a lot to the imagination of like who we were and where we came from and how this all happened. Is, you know, it's a mystery, and yet, you know, you have to create it when you're an actor to sort of find the links.
Sorry, go ahead.
Did you see it in a movie? Did you see it in a movie theater? You're not that old.
I never saw it in the theater. It was like that. It was one of those things that got passed around on like secondhand VHS dubs when I was, you know, in my teens.
Right, right.
And you know, it's funny. It's really funny, because one of the guys that's on the show pretty regularly, who actually picked this movie, he went to get it on Amazon, and he couldn't stream it on Amazon, so he went to buy the DVD, and the DVD is like $80 because it's so highly sought out. Like, it's very hard to track down sometimes. So I think
it's funny. Yeah, it's like. The movie it's either on some old dubbed VHS, or it also played at like the Museum of Modern Art in New York in their film series. It was like nothing in between, you know? It's like, wait a second.
It's either Suit and Tie or bought at a flea market. So
Right.
So you were saying that you kind of had to fill in the backstory, you know, of your character. You had mentioned that, you know, Bill Paxton was channeling Jim Morrison. Like, what did you look to fill in your character?
Well, you know, the description of her, aside from her name, was that she had peroxide bleached hair. And, you know, Catherine said, oh, you know, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. No, I think that's, this is a great, you know, insight. And so what I, and the whole idea of like the dark roots coming through was that, you know, she did it like in a bathroom sink, you know, the kind of women, it's like, it doesn't matter how poor they are. It's like the hair is bleached and the eyeliner is there. Everything else may be a mess, but you know, there's some things that you have to keep going. So that was the kind of idea. And, We had sort of put them together in a chronological order because, you know, in the script it says, he turned me, I turned this one, and this one turned another one. And if you look at it, you know, Jesse's the oldest. And then there it says, you know, what war were you in? And he says, we fought for the South. Let's just say I lost. And so the idea of it, that he was a Confederate soldier, he was laying in a pile of corpses, and somehow, I don't know what it was, the vampire, the spirit came and took him, and then he ends up turning me. And so we had to think about, what period did he find me? And for me, the story we had was that sort of time, kind of depression, the depression era gal, and I sort of thought about Postman Always Rings Twice, the original one, just a woman who wants out of her life and wants more, that kind of like bleach bottle Marilyn Monroe, you know. And so because he said, you know, he picked her up as a hitchhiker, right? There was hitchhiking, and that said about the night they met, you know, it was this romantic night that they had met where he killed her and then, you know, begins to, you know, be her lover for eternity. And so that was my time. And then the next time was Homer, my son. And the time moved into the 50s. He was kind of like that sort of, you know, everybody, you know, Leave It to Beaver, but like, you know, like, you know, freaky Leave It to Beaver kid, you know, with the bike and the thing, except, you know, he also sucks your blood.
And will just straight shoot you.
yeah. So it's kind of moving all these different, you know, you move from the Civil War and you move into the Depression, and then you move, you know, I didn't mean to skip Bill, you know, you move into sort of Western, you know, the Tombstone era. And you're moving through eras and eras as they, you know, live, and then they become really lonely and they need somebody else. If you look at it, there's that, you can sort of see when they were turned.
So this was Kathryn Bigelow's second like full length movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she went on to do all sorts of different kinds of things, you know, science fiction, Academy Award mm-hmm. stuff, like just the full gamut of films. What was mm-hmm. it like working with her, you know, early on in her career?
Well, this was her first as a solo director, right? Because the first was she shared credit with Monty Montgomery. And that was also, you know, like working with her, she was brilliant. I mean, she was just really collaborative with the actors. Really had a deep, deep understanding and love of genre. You know, all her films are, you know, the war film, the, you know, It's a Minute to Midnight. There's all the different, you know, she loved film history. You could tell that she just really got what it was like to kind of twist a genre, you know, to really speak to you. And really soft-spoken. I mean, I love that. I mean, there's so few women as directors, you know, and here she was doing, you know, in quotes, male type, you know, movies. And she was this incredibly elegant, soft-spoken, never raised her voice, and knew exactly what she wanted. I mean, she was collaborative for the people that were working with her, but she knew exactly what she wanted to put on the screen, and she would never, she didn't back down on what her vision of it was. So it doesn't surprise me. You know, I guess I should say it shouldn't surprise me that it took so long for her, you know, to get her due, you know, between the films that she did in that long sort of period where, you know, you didn't know what was going on. But no, she's an incredible filmmaker.
That's awesome. Like, it's interesting, you know, you talk to different actors and about the directors that they've worked with, and so many directors, even when they have a vision, sometimes they maybe lose mm-hmm. track of it in the moment, mm-hmm. but to know, you know, she's so strong in what she wants to do. And it comes through in like every single movie of hers that I've seen. Like, you know, if I look at a film like Strange Days, that's mm-hmm. incredible from beginning to end. And people, I think a lot of the time, don't understand like the drive that it takes to make something like that, or something like this. I mean, it's such a strange and nuanced film that people unfortunately haven't seen nearly enough, but in my opinion.
Right. Well, she comes from an art background. So if you know that about where, you know, what she's looking, she's looking at the cinematography and, you know, archetypes and symbols and different, you know, that's sort of where she comes from, aside from the fact that, you know, she absolutely loves, you know, the genres and the idea of, you know, men and women and violence and what all those films are. And so, yeah, no, she's great. Her films are always really, really interesting. And I'm glad she's gotten her recognition. Yeah.
So when you see a movie like Blade, where the vampires explode in the sun, or a movie like From Dusk Till Dawn, where they're literally riding in a Winnebago into a nest of vampires, do you think to yourself, hey, we did that first?
Well, it's funny. I've never seen Blade, so. And, you know, it's Dusk Till Dawn. I haven't seen it. I've seen cuts and everything, and I mean, I love the director, and I saw kind of, I recognize that sort of rough, but I did not see that section of the Winnebago. So that one is like, hey, wait a second.
You know, it's funny, 'cause it's very different. You know, it's a very different film, but the first half of the movie is basically a crime film, and they're driving to Mexico in a Winnebago. And I remember the first time I saw the movie, I was like, it's so weird that, you know, they're just driving in a Winnebago, and then the last, like, half of the movie just takes this hard left turn into, like, vampire action movie. I was like, oh, he totally ripped off Near Dark right there.
It's an homage. It's an homage.
Oh, yeah, homage. My bad. Not rip off. So when you see Bill Paxton on screen in Aliens and in this movie, he comes across as like a total smarmy jerk, like in the movies. And I've never heard that he's actually like that as a human being. But what was it like working with him?
So I mean, Bill was the sweetest. kindest, fun, absolute funniest, just like a gentleman. Like, I mean, he was a Texas gentleman. I mean, that's how he was raised, what he said. I mean, Bill and I were really good friends, and, you know, we met first on Aliens, and, you know, it's hard to talk about him. He just was so talented, you know, and everything, music and directing and being an actor and kind of a guy who sort of never lost a friend he met, you know, just that kind of guy always. But boy, did he like to have fun and make things crazy. It was always in service, you know, to the script, you know, because he was not this crazy. I mean, when he was younger, yeah, you know, but no, I mean, like, really, really professional and great to work with, and just like 101 ideas.
That's cool. I've never heard anyone say a bad thing about him, and it's always, you know, you see him in a movie and he comes across as just that guy that you're like, man, I wish he would stop talking. But when you see him in interviews and, you know, hear other people talk about him, you know that, like you said, he's a guy that never lost a friend. He's a guy that just kind of was always really nice to people.
You should see him. You see One False Move. Have you seen that? False Move?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very different in that. And I mean, yeah. He's definitely, if you wanted some guy just to be, you know, the absolute crazy, you know, shit kicker kind of guy, you would definitely call Bill Paxton. But no, you're right. He's just, it was the nicest, sweetest guy ever.
So, you know, Near Dark is definitely like a lower budget horror film, whereas Aliens was huge. Like, it was a huge thing, even at the time, it feels like. What was the difference working between like the two different kind of filmmaking styles, for lack of a better term?
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that, because the effect was different, because, you know, Alien was a huge, you know, science fiction and space and monsters and all of that stuff. However, the way it was filmed was purely low budget way of working, Absolutely. I mean, so because Cameron came up through the Corman studio, right? And, you know, he knew how to do it, which means you knew how to do everything for as little amount of money, you know, get the effects. And that's how it was. That's how it was a working situation. I mean, I think the final budget, including like marketing, was something like $18 million. I mean, it was unheard, even then, you know, now it sounds just absolutely ridiculous, but then no, it was done for nothing. I mean, that's part of the reason why, you know, like, you know, do it. You did Terminator, the first one, and on nothing. And let's have you do a big budget look. And it looked like a big budget. So the actual work ethic was the same. You know, if it broke and it didn't work, you just strap it up with some gaffer's tape and you go. You know, you go again.
Very Roger Corman for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, we joked about, you know, that everything was being held together with gaffer's tape. You know, the whole set, everything. And, it, you know, that was the kind of, that was the look of the ship, but it was true. If something broke, you just gaffer tape it. And then, so near, but Near Dark, yeah, truly was low. A big difference was Near Dark was almost all locations, and except for the very last day, we did the interiors of the Winnebago on a set, and that was at the very, very end. But the rest of it was all nights. It was, you know, just and you know, we were on in truck stops, and God knows where we were, sleeping in the, you know, in the trailer in the middle of the night, and being woken up, and where Aliens was all inside a soundstage, huge soundstage, and there was one location shot we did inside something. So that was a big difference. I think I was cold. That was similar. But yeah, you know, but when you're working, the work ethic is really just a scrappiness, you know? And I think, Cameron works like that no matter what he's doing, no matter how much money. I mean, he doesn't like to waste people's time or money, or, you know, or have people waste his time or money, as you certainly heard, right?
Right. You know, it's interesting to think about, you know, that both films kind of have that same like scrappy feel to them. You were just going out doing the work, you know, kind of by any means necessary. It's interesting to hear that both directors had that like sensibility of like, we're going to get this done. Like, we're going to get it done the way I want it to look. And, you know, broken set be damned kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, on the sort of part of the sort of idea of the genre, there's, you know, maybe it has to do with like low budgets, but you have like a central cast, a small amount of people and ensemble that work together. And so much of the effects come through the actors themselves. So if you think about the similarity, aside from that, it was the three of us again. It was a small group of soldiers. And then, you know, Near Dark is a small group of their family, you know, against all odds, you know, with each other.
Right. The weirdest, most violent family, except for maybe the family from The Hills Have Eyes or something.
Oh, God, that was a gross. Oh, no.
When you're looking at the two characters in the two films, and I kind of bring them both up because they're both movies that we've talked about for the pop culture classic segment. You know, in both films, you play like a very strong like female character. Was there ever like any kind of like, I guess like kind of negative response to that? Because, you know, in today's vernacular in films, like a character like yours from Alien is going to be viewed as like a super strong, really tough woman. But when I look back to how, you know, my parents and, you know, my grandparents even thought in the 80s, they probably would have been kind of taken aback by that. Was there ever like any, you know, weirdness with playing such strong females? That's cool.
No, I mean, the thing about Vasquez is when my biggest fear when I was given the role was that I was going to come across like a superhero, a superheroine like Wonder Woman or something like that. Where, you know, it's great to have superheroes as women, but you're a superhero. you have magical power. You know, how brave is that when you can? And I, that was the only thing that I knew of. You know, I knew of what was Red Sonja and all of that, but I was like, no, you know, I want her to be real. I want her to be a real person, you know, a real person, real woman. We're in a situation where you have to, you know, she was in a war and her her enemy was happened to be an alien, but it's just like in anything. So it was really important to me that I didn't seem like a cartoon character of someone who was strong. I mean, she seemed fearless because she had nothing to lose. You know, she was in there. She was a lifer. She was not getting out. And, you know, Paxton's character, Hudson, he was so whiny and seemed like a chicken because he had 2 weeks. He was getting out in 2 weeks, you know, and if you just like, oh, God, you know, whereas she's, you know, in there for life. So there's a reason behind why people act that way. So, you know, the best thing was I told Cameron how I was going to play her, you know, so I'm not going to make her relatable. Like that was the big word in the 80s. You know, you've got to be relatable. And he said, just, you know, screw them. Do it the way you want to do it. Don't worry. You know, I've got your back. Just play her how you want to play her. So I was like, great. But the response immediately when you know, audience saw it was just completely, they related, you know, because it was a real person. And from, you know, then on, when it came out in the 80s till now, it's still, you know, people say, oh my God, you were my grandmother's favorite character or whatever, you know, you know, it's either women, men, gay, straight, military, you know, they have a connection. So nothing negative. I mean, that's
awesome. I know.
I
know when I showed my oldest daughter Aliens for the first time, she got finished mm-hmm. with it. And she told me, she's like, I want to be just like her when I grow up. I was like, well, there's not really space marines, so you can't do that, but you can give it your best shot.
No, it's something, you know, she was a great character, and you know, there should be more roles for women like that.
So you had mentioned before we started the interview that your husband collects original comic book art. Is that something that you engage with him too, or do you have interest in that sort of thing?
You know, he's a comic art collector, and he's a fine artist as well. So, and his practice is inspired by his love of comic book and the line, and you know, his is abstract. He doesn't do you know, figurative. But I don't know anything about it, but I love listening to him show me, you know, why this line here is beautiful and why this piece is, you know, really speaks to him, and you know, why he has to buy it for all of these reasons. And he was just at WonderCon. He was at WonderCon, and he came back and had to go back. There was something else, but he's a huge Jack Kirby a collector, and he has a wonderful collection of lots of people. So yeah, no, he was really, really excited when I heard that Ava DuVernay and it was going to be made. So
yeah, the New Gods movie. It's interesting because New Gods is kind of like one of those comic book series that divides like nerd comic book fans, like a lot of the people that listen to our show or that are in our circle of friends, where some people love it and some people hate it, and I'm one of the love side, so I'm very excited to see what they do with that movie, especially with her at the helm, because she's an incredibly talented director. So
I know he was excited because he has always told me that there was this one character that he's always wanted me to play if they ever made it, and so he'd always mentioned that to me, you know. He's like, I don't know if it'll ever be made, but you know, my God, you know, and you're old enough now and all, you know, so.
And you told him, more. Don't talk about me like that.
No, I think that's cool. I you know, I don't care what I look like. I'm a character actress, so it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. I can get older and fatter and you still get work. So
that's awesome. So you had mentioned that you're doing this Upright Citizens Brigade Sunday night sex talks on April 21st. How did you go about getting involved in that?
Well, you know, I have taken a break from acting ever since I opened up the stores, which is about 9 years ago. Not even a conscious break, but there's like no time. You know, we started this store, started this business, and it kind of took off. And, you know, it's shocking how much I enjoyed business. It's creative in what I do. But I've done a few things here and there. But basically when people come to me with an interesting idea, you know, if I have time and I'm interested, I'll jump to it. So a woman came up to me, Jesse Rosen, who's been doing these, and she first wanted to do it in our boutique. And then she said, I would love to have you, you know, do you still act? And I was like, of course I do. So, yeah, it's interesting. And it's to talk about the stuff that I hear and I see about, you know, women and how they feel about themselves and their bodies. And I mean, that just goes on and on. And I mean, that's why I like my business, is because it's about, you know, talking to women, and I get to meet lots of interesting people, and it's an interesting subject. And that's how I got into it. So I'm gonna get up with a bunch of other people and tell a story about sex.
I mean, those are basically the best kind of stories. Like, sex stories are my favorite stories. So,
well, yeah, everybody's got one embarrassing or something like that. So I think this one has. I think the theme is solo. So I'm just gonna talk. I mean, it's interesting. I think it's, you know, the thing about a lingerie store instead of just buying things online is that a lingerie store, when you go, a bra lady, you go and you talk to other women and you normalize what's going on, and it's like a therapy session, and you know, it's a wonderful place instead of just being, you know, by yourself solo at your computer just going, oh, you know, I'll buy this and that kind of thing. So I think that's what the talk is going to be about. I don't know. I'll change it up at the last minute, but it should be fun.
It sounds like a blast. Like, you know, it's really cool to me that you've created this business out of something that obviously is very important to you and obviously creates like a community, as opposed to just being a store to, you know, do whatever. Like, it's not just about the capitalist side of it. It's about the, I want to create like this group and this community. It's, you know, in our culture of, you know, of nerddom and stuff, the comic book shop becomes that, where everybody's, you know, going to get their comics and just hang out with their friends. And it's cool that you've done the same thing just with, you know, underwear.
No, that's interesting. It's funny, because I was thinking about, you know, I mean, this is why it's done well, because people need that. I mean, like, it's like the barbershop and the black community. You know, it's not about getting your hair cut. You know, you go and you talk and you speak with older guys and they talk about life. It's the beauty parlor. And, you know, I didn't even think about the comic book shop. I've been to many with my husband. You go and you talk, and bras used to always be sold from a bra lady on the corner. They never, ever were sold. This is before department stores. You go and it was a space for women to get together and talk about, you know, oh my God, I'm pregnant. Oh, and my husband, I just got divorced. I mean, you wouldn't believe people. And that's why, you know, it was so successful. It's not just selling somebody something. You know, of course we do, the best bras ever. But it's about, you know, talking to someone and getting together. And I mean, as the world gets more and more virtual, the things that cannot be done virtually will become more necessary and valued, and, you know.
It's awesome to, you know, hearing you talk about how valuable it is to like have community, have interaction. Like, that's that's something we're, you know, huge advocates of on our show, because that's why we do this show, is so that every other week we can sit down and BS with our friends and just have a good time and talk about the shit we love. And then, you know, that's the release. That's, we just have a good time, and that's the point of it. And that's, you have added value that you're also come away with something to wear. So
exactly. I know, exactly. You come up with some knockout, you know, underwear, some knockout lingerie. Yeah. No, it's great. Oh, cool. Look forward to meeting your wife.
If I can convince her to come with me to California at some point, I will definitely.
Yeah. Well, we're going to open another store. We're in Los Angeles now, you know, in the Los Angeles area. And next year we're going to open one in Atlanta.
Oh, nice.
So I have no idea where you are, but you know.
Yeah, I currently am in Colorado. So if you hit a Denver store, she'll be there with bells on, I guarantee it. Because as soon as I told her about this, she's like, how can I get one? I was like, well, you would have to go to the store.
So. Oh, there's a good one. There's a good one in Denver.
Oh, there is.
I can Yeah, I can tell you. Just you want to know?
Where yeah,
you
go? I would go? Love to know.
It's called Sol, S-O-L.
I am writing that in my notes right now.
Yep, I know the owner. I mean, you know, these are all independent lingerie stores, and there's not that many of them in the United States. We're hoping to get more and more, but definitely want to help out everyone who has one. So
that's awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
So for our listeners that are in California, how can they find one of your stores or just get online to find out where you guys are located at?
Yeah. So the website's JeanetteBras.com, and it's spelled J-E-N-E-T-T-E, like my name. And there's a beautiful website so you can learn about us and look at all the lingerie and the swimwear we have. But you have to come in and get fitted and meet us. And there's one in East Hollywood, which is like Silver Lake, East side, and there's one on the west side of Los Angeles, and there's one in Pasadena, which is a little city just kind of north. But you just call us up, use email, whatnot, and that's how you find us.
Well, that is awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on our show. We really, really appreciate your time to talk to us about a movie that got made forever ago, because we talk about really old crap all the time, but...
Good.
We absolutely love the movie, and it was an absolute pleasure talking to you. Listeners, if you're in the Hollywood area, be sure to check her out at the Upright Citizens Brigade in Hollywood on April 21st for the Sunday night sex talks on Saturday night, which is a joke that I don't think is going to stop being funny to me. and then I probably will start the petition to cast you as Granny Goodness. So, but
all right.
Thanks so much for being on our show.
I'm Alex DeCampi, writer of No Mercy from Image Comics and Grindhouse from Dark Horse Comics. And you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Because if you're thinking inside the long box, you're very small or very skinny.
Damn right you're scared. I can see that in your eyes.
All right, man.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens. I said throw down, boy. You gonna do something or just stand there and bleed?
The real name of Clyde John Still.
Boy, get me my shitting bag.
And it was like really well thought out and like really intelligent. I was like, this guy's the exact opposite of Doyle. This is amazing.
Doyle alone at home on Pornhub night. Huh. But when I think about Doyle, Doyle probably doesn't weigh as much as me, but I feel like
he weighs more than he. He's like, got tiny little pencil legs.
Doyle, you ruined everything.
Yes, yes, Gabe, yes he does. But I have a theory about that, which we will get into today on
Clyde's Correction!
Welcome, everybody, to Clyde's Correction, number 6. Man, I know it's been a while. We have a lot to cover today, so let's quit fucking around and let's get to it, all right? Let's start with some shit I just want to talk about because I didn't guest star on your show.
A big part of us talking about Cloverfield Paradox is the way it got released.
That was super random.
Trailer in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Go watch it on Netflix right now.
And we did. We all did. Every single sci-fi nerd after the Super Bowl was like, yep, going home to watch that shit. And I only have one question. How the fuck did the arm know? How did the arm know?
But if you look at Altered Carbon, I saw the first episode.
I want to watch that show.
So I saw about the first 15 minutes of the first episode last night because I put it on and fell asleep because that's what I do.
Yeah, I did something similar, Gabe. I sat down on the couch and I watched the first 15 minutes of Altered Carbon, and I didn't stop till season one was fucking over. That show is what Blade Runner wishes it could be. That show was fucking amazing. I love that show. That show is the best show of 2017 into 2018, hands down.
So I rented him two DVDs, and then I moved out, like, I don't know, like a week later or some shit. He never returned those. And Hastings doesn't believe in the, like, once you get to the cost of the movie, we cut you off. Those fucking movies, they were trying to charge me, like, $500.
Right, because they would just fine.
Yeah, I was like, fuck you, Hastings. I got a quarter of that
Blockbuster.
We are not quite into the Doyle bashing segment of this episode yet. However, I will prove that I am better than you in this regard, Doyle, because I can one-up you on that story. I had a bankruptcy on my credit report from fucking Blockbuster. A bankruptcy. See, what had happened, and I talked about this on my show, which is the Old Still Radio Show, right? Okay, just so everybody knows, Old Still Radio Show. Fuck these bastards. Don't listen to what they say. That's how you say my show. But seriously, somebody keyed shit in wrong at the credit bureau. They wouldn't do shit about it until I hired a lawyer to get it removed. I had to get a fucking lawyer on an $11.10 late charge from Blockbuster. I was like, yeah, I really don't think that's going to break me, guys.
Philadelphia, I don't know what happens, but something happens. The city of Philadelphia is, I don't think it exists in another realm. Something happens where, like,
it pulls.
A portal is opened, yep. And all this shit. It's very kind of. I haven't seen Cloverfield,
but thing. It sounds
similar. Very similar to that. Like there's this portal that's opened into the city of Philadelphia, and these monsters and creatures and stuff start to take over the city, basically. And so the U.S. builds a wall around Philadelphia and says, "That's it, we're done." You know, nobody's allowed.
Probably
in, nobody's
something
allowed
the United
out.
States should do, anyways. But.
Okay, Donald Trump. So,
they won the Super Bowl and fucking set their city on fire. They're like, we won, burn it to the ground.
And this Southern boy couldn't agree more. Philadelphia is the armpit of the United States of America. Now, I pulled for the Eagles this go-round only because they'd never won, and I pulled for the underdogs, and they got me to the final game in my fantasy football, but yeah, when Wentz went out, I was fucked. So, hey, thanks, Philadelphia. You fucking suck. Your city sucks. It's falling apart. It stinks. It's rancid. It's horrible. Fuck Philly.
So for TV show, I would say Legion.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh yeah.
I haven't seen that either.
That's the X-Men or X-Men, X-Family
yeah.
show?
David Haller, Professor Xavier's kid.
Is it good? Yeah.
That was
so
it
good.
Was really honestly, good and just really kind of offbeat.
Yeah, it was not what I expected.
I had a really hard time getting past the first episode. Does it grow?
Well, Doyle, you have a hard time getting past anything. You're a fucking fat ass. Regardless, Legion was amazing. Legion was spectacular, and here's why. What everybody doesn't realize about Legion is it is showing you what psychic battle looks like. You know, when Xavier would square off against the Shadow King, or you know, Jean Grey would square off against, you know, fucking anybody, that's what it looks like. That's why it's so crazy and trippy and just going every which direction. That thing is fucking amazing. It's showing you psychic warfare. It's not just disembodied head fighting disembodied head in the astral plane. It's for real psychic battle. And that, my friends, is the stuff of comic book orgasms. All right, I know. Let's get to the part you guys have been waiting for. Now it's time for the corrections, starting with Juan.
It's hard because Pierce Brosnan is English, if I remember right, and he
could be
for the movie.
He played James Bond. We'll say yes.
For the movie, he speaks Irish, so it's fucking hard to understand him. And then it's hard to understand Jackie Chan too. So their parts are like, I have to really pay attention.
Juan. I know English is your second language, but you know, what there's so much wrong with what you just said, but let's start with the basics. Hey, guess what? Pierce Brosnan is in fact Irish, motherfucker. He's Irish. And when you speak with an Irish accent, you don't say somebody's speaking Irish. There's no such thing as Irish. At one point, there was Gaelic or Celtic. Never Irish. Irish is an accent, not a fucking language.
I like how Juan just said the lesbian character is good looking.
She is good looking.
All she needs is a good dick.
No, I didn't say that.
I saw the look on his face.
I think she is good looking. She was good.
Juan, don't pay attention to Doyle. We're going to sort him out here in a little bit. But in Doyle's defense, it is kind of hard to not think that you think that way when you say shit like this.
Well, I've done a lot of the United States, so...
I bet you have, you little Mexican. All right, moving on to Gabe.
We need to have Jonathan on. I've asked him to be on the show like 5 times. He's like, no, I don't want to. I'm like, dude, you leave us the best messages. You have got to freaking...
I couldn't find his podcast yesterday. I was going to tag him, and I couldn't.
The Amp Show? There's two A's.
Oh, fuck. Maybe that's why I couldn't find it.
Well, I'm glad that it's not just my show you guys fuck up. That Lamp Show is with two M's, motherfuckers. Two M's, as in motherfucker, motherfucker. Not two A's. At least it's not just the old still time radio hour, whatever. And again, Gabe, for a show about comic books, you sure don't. No shit. For instance, when you're talking about Men in Black here,
from it is this is like the precursor to all the other Marvel movies. This is based on a Marvel comic book as well, and it has like all of those elements that are now like integral to like the major Marvel movies. It's funny, it's got emotional moments, it's got great action, it's got great special effects, and it's like just kind of the top tier of everything that's out there. It's got Will Smith.
Okay, maybe I'm being a little petty, but it wasn't Marvel. It was Air Cell Comics that started Men in Black, which was then bought by Malibu Comics. Now, yes, Marvel acquired Malibu Comics, but it was mainly to kill it. That's right, Marvel is responsible for the death of the Ultraverse. But hey, they kill their own universes all the time. Why treat anybody else as any different? So yes, that one may be a little petty, but then Juan jumps in on the action and things get all fucked up.
I know more about comic books than you do. I am still...
Is Will Smith going to be... Oh wait, he already is in another comic book movie series.
Shazam!
It's Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah.
Oh, not Shazam. That's
The Rock.
That's the alternate universe. Wait, no. I was thinking of Shaq.
Ooh, man, this got confusing fast.
That's a way different
that
alternate universe.
That poop rattled my brain, I tell you that.
No, Doyle, your poop created a Mandela effect. And I'm sure you'd have some racist joke about poop and black people, but, you know, whatever. What I'm talking about here is, first of all, let's review. The Rock is not going to be Shazam. Shazam is actually the Wizard. We don't know who's going to play that. Probably fucking Liam Neeson. Who knows? But the Wizard was Shazam. The actual character The Rock is going to play is Black Adam. Then there's Captain Marvel. And then, you know, come on, you get it right. And then the whole Shazam Kazam thing, that's something we covered when I was on the show. So everybody go back and listen to one of John Clyde Still's episodes. You'll hear us talk about the Mandela Effect. All right, one last quick note for Gabe.
So this brings us to Tim Notes. I have Tim Notes in my book every episode that Tim is on. Tim said...
Oh, Gabe. If you only knew. There was an episode where Tim played you like a fiddle. In fact, he played you so good, he had to message me afterwards... And tell me about it. Now, I can't tell you how. I can't tell you why. Just know that he got you so good that I was dying laughing listening to the entire episode. And nobody knows but me and him. Tim Husky, you are a fucking genius. All right, now switching gears to the real reason we are all here today.
I hated, understand that either.
I hated Rick's wife.
Lori.
And I can't even remember her name. I hated her so much. I was happy as shit when she died. Like, I was like, thank God. this annoying two-timing bitch is off the show. Like, I just couldn't get behind her anymore. I was like, fucking kill her now. I'd have blown her head off from the back if I was Rick. Like, boom, bitch, it's my world.
Wow.
I told you, this is Rick's world now.
There are things you can't gun down a baby on TV.
Oh, you that can. Shit. I just can't back a guy who has Parkinson's. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
Didn't see that coming, you shaky bastard.
Into the
just like it when the white people kill the black people. I don't know. Seems so true to age.
I'm like an asshole all the time, so yeah.
So
I actually didn't even care there were Asians in that movie. I want to like you, Asian man.
Yeah, that was North Korea.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not that sneaky about it. They're like, we're just going to monster jam all over this fucking internet right now.
Sleeping wontons everywhere.
Oh my God.
If I was.
Yeah. Which is probably times, why there should be a wall around Denver.
If I was actually racist, I would have thrown a black joke in there, but I didn't.
You just alluded to it intentionally. Racist prick.
Yeah, black cities evidently don't matter.
Wow. Oh,
Jesus
wow.
Christ.
Yes, yes, Doyle. You're like the shock jock who has overstayed his welcome on terrestrial radio. We all know that your aggressiveness and racism are just a show. You're hiding what really matters. What I'm trying to say, Doyle, is this. You are like the Pope in an orphanage. Everybody is a little suspicious. Here's what I'm trying to say, Doyle. This is an intervention, okay? This is a plea for you to go ahead and just let your real self out. Let it free. Here, let me give you a few examples.
And he's just going to beat Steve's meat.
Steve has to agree to that. I'm not about abusing that line between two male friends that beat each other up. So I still have my memory being like just hammered. Watching this 350-pound guy just chopping up a turd with a butter knife. Hey, it literally looks like someone jizzed in a bottle of carbonated water. Like, it's gross.
Doyle could pick Twilight.
I like the Nine Inch Nails myself.
Okay, so let's take the...
Not as exciting as the Nine Inch Nails, but...
Doyle, do you see where I'm going with this, sir? Do you understand what we're trying to say? Here, let me spell it out for you.
There are so many shows that are on that list for me right now that are like, I shouldn't watch anything until I watch this. And then I'm like, watch the entire first season of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Don't know why.
Why am I watching Sex in the City?
The other
those gay guys are so personable.
Doyle, we all know why. We all know why you're so aggressive and hateful and you have all this anger. Doyle, let's put it in your own words.
He's a man writer.
Yes.
Gotcha.
See? Even you know it.
When a dude rolls off the couch and starts talking about how stank his dick is and he's trying to smell it, I had those moments.
There's a...
I just wanted to watch stank dick. Smell the stank dick. I didn't pretend to be a pretty man. You can't shit on your own, then who can you shit on? I like the whole scream big.
Where's purple
pants? There's fantasies. I can't talk about it. Am I meant for gay porn? You just tell me now.
Yes. Yes, Doyle, you are. You so very much are. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a Doyle Intervention, Clyde's Correction, Episode 6. I hope you all enjoyed it, and I hope you all will help me to help our friend Doyle come to terms with his reality. Doyle, we love you. And we here at the Old Still Radio Show want you to know that you are accepted. No more shitting in bags for attention while driving. No more challenging guys to swim competitions just so you can see them in Speedos. Doyle, you be you. Let's let Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp say it for us.
Nonsense. I've not yet begun to defile myself.
Ed. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
I'm your huckleberry. That's just my game.
And I invite all you guys to come check out my show, The Old Still Radio Show. www.oldstillradioshow.com. You can find us on just about every podcast venue except for Stitcher. Fuck Stitcher. Love you guys. Mean it. We'll check you soon. Hey, Juan, get me back on the show and be sure Doyle is there so we can all have a, you know, a group chat about this. Talk at you later, guys.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mario Candelaria, writer of comics such as Ashes and Epilogue, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Here's a few reasons why you should be listening to the Unwritable Rant podcast with host Juliet Miranda. She can tell a great story.
If you can't play dead, play drunk. And it works, I swear.
She interviews celebrities that have great stories.
If we have a cousin that's kind of strange, we don't put him away or tuck him away. We set him on an old dryer out in the front yard with alcohol and let him wave at people.
right. And then you tell your friends about it.
And she's tolerant and loves kids.
So these kids go running up after the ball, and I stand up and I yell, "Kids die in the street all the time."
So head on over to theunwritablerant.com and listen to the show.
What happened? No, I'm good. We're recording again.
Oh, Jesus.
That was a quick break.
Hey!
Still have fucking food in my mouth, man. Yeah. You can't give us like 2 minutes.
It's still penis.
Still got piss in my penis.
Yeah, dude, I haven't finished yet. Come on.
Don't piss that. Do not piss on my floor.
I cut it off right before it came to the hole. Just like Shaq used to do when he was on the Crumb Show.
Oh, wow.
Things I didn't know about Shaq. I feel like you have close intimate relationship with Shaq.
And his penis.
Yeah.
Mostly his penis.
I feel like if I was actually some like secret lover of Shaq, I'd have lots more money and be doing other things.
I don't know. You bought my whole family lunch yesterday, so.
It's true. I used a coupon.
Oh, okay. So you're just old.
Yeah. I used an internet coupon.
Dude, I went to this barbecue place a couple days ago, and this lady, they charge you by the pound, okay?
Right.
And this lady had like a buy 1 pound, get one free, right? But the pound that they cut her was like 1.01
pounds,
right? Or whatever, just like a tiny bit over. So she insisted that her free pound match the weight of the little bit over.
Because she didn't want to pay
right. For like a little bit over. I was like, that is...
For like an ounce.
Seriously, for like about 40 cents of meat. Like,
I will say that they always ask me, because I go into Heritage Market, oh, is a half a pound and a little bit over okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's whatever. It's fine.
I've never been asked one. I just assume that that's obvious, because it's like, people aren't fucking robots. Or
yeah.
They usually do a pretty fucking good job. Like,
yeah.
It's fucking meat. More is more.
Speaking of deli cuts, you guys had the sriracha infused cheese?
I have.
What?
Deli? Dude, it's so good.
From the deli? From which deli?
No, so they have them at like multiple. I've seen it pretty much everywhere. I've seen like them cut deli meats.
Oh, no.
It's sriracha provolone or pepper jack? I can't remember, but it's fucking good.
It's the weirdest aside on this show I think we've ever had, by the way.
I'm just saying. We're talking about
that sriracha cheese. Yeah. This show has nothing to do with food, but that fucking cheese is amazing.
No, we went on like a 10-minute tangent about chickens one episode.
That's true, yeah. But there was probably more chicken fucking in that.
No, it was like legitimately like just about raising and rearing chickens.
Oh, okay.
I think actually that was true. Like, we didn't know how it was done.
Yeah, that's valid.
Can you keep them in the city?
There are some valid tangents on this show.
And then I believe that devolved into goat fucking, which is... The chickens weren't involved, but it went there.
It definitely. There's definitely sheep. Some kind of animal
sheep
sex.
Fucking. It always goes bad.
And then the specialty boots that you put the sheep's back legs in so they can't get away as you fuck them.
That is right. Yeah, I remember that now. Awesome.
I don't even know what the fuck you guys are talking about.
I'm waiting for you to bring up some news because you said that.
No. I was just saying if we had anything left over from the first segment.
Did
that's
you
all.
Have
no, no. I just was saying that that was it.
I guess I really only have one more thing.
Because all we have is your old man segment. And usually, it's funny. It'll be like an hour for the first segment. Like 30 or 40 minutes for the second segment, and then like 10 minutes for the last segment.
Right. Which is, I think, is fun.
Yeah. Part of the old man segment. It runs out of energy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of goddamn talking. Gotta go take a nap. I do have one other thing that I consume pop culture-wise. I don't care one. Mel and I went on a date night on Friday, and we watched Molly's Game, which is Aaron Sorkin's new movie about Molly Bloom, who ran like this underground like poker ring. It's just a lot of fun. If you like Aaron Sorkin movies, it's definitely worth checking out. Like, it's not super pop culture-y. It's definitely a very, like, you know, kind of indie, like, filmy film. But written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, stars Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba. Like, just good movie. Like, it's in general just a really fun movie. I really dug it. So definitely worth checking out, especially if you like stuff like Rounders or any kind of poker movie, things like that. So.
Not to be confused with Gerald's Game.
Yeah, which is about totally a lady different that, movie. Whose husband dies on top of her when she's handcuffed to the bed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Clearly the best poker movie.
When getting
ever
fucked,
is
fucks
Maverick.
You.
Doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile.
Well, now I'm live on Facebook.
Oh, Jesus. Stop stop going live on things. Yeah,
that's a great pose there, Gabe. You can see your bulge a little bit.
Ooh. Yeah.
Two people are watching your bulge.
Oh, yeah.
Which bulge are you guys watching?
All of it. I'm just a bulge. That's the problem.
Yeah, unfortunately, same thing over here.
Yeah. So, my old... Sorry, Alicia.
What happened?
I just got an oh my God from Alicia.
Yes. Oh, I had one thing, too. We talked about it slightly yesterday, but if people care because it's a cartoon, I wonder.
Just talk.
Why do I care? The new Ninja Turtles frustrates me so much because it looks
the series.
Like shit. The new Ninja Turtles cartoon. It's like the art is shit.
Gabe, you happy to see me? Dave King.
Hi, Dave.
I can't see Dave. Why would we be happy to see him?
Yeah, Dave. Why don't you make a video, air it live? We'll watch it when it's not live. After this video, we'll leave you a comment whether or not we were happy to see you. Otherwise, don't ask stupid fucking questions.
Wow. Wow. Jesus.
I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding.
Dave, we love you. I don't know who you are, but we love you.
I know who you are. I do love you. Oh, shit. That's amazing.
But I love him already for dealing with that.
I thought the art was stupidest looking. The fact that they made Raph the team leader, which has been...
historically
exposed
a
as a bad idea in every other iteration of the
comics
or the shows. It's like Raph is not a good leader, and in this one they're like, no, we're gonna be edgy, he's the leader. It's like, you fucks,
you're edgy.
And
because
then
the art
April
style
O'Neil is
like
for some
shit.
Reason like a teenage black chick. I'm like, she's a news reporter. I don't care that you made her black, but can she still be a fucking news reporter? Like, that's her thing.
She's not a news reporter at all.
I think she's like a... No, she seems like a little kid.
I don't know. I
maybe
haven't seen it
like
at all.
Class news.
Maybe she's like a podcaster.
That'd
be all right.
Maybe she's a podcaster.
If she was a kind of like new age reporter, I'm cool with that. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I feel like they just like...
I think Dave King left. I don't think he liked your attitude towards him.
It's all right.
Come on, down to one of you. That was funny.
I think you know Dave.
Probably.
He used to play WoW with Steve a lot.
Potentially.
Oh, somebody laughed at us.
That's so distracting. Like, it's so hard to like record
Damn
when you're
it,
recording and like announcing to us everything that everybody says and like, oh, there was a laugh emoji. It's like,
how do
on.
You guys feel about the Nickelodeon attempt at the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? There's only two of you.
Zero.
Probably
gonna
get
care.
No answer. Yeah.
One of them, I think, is my wife, which she probably could care less about. So,
yeah, but your son's gonna watch it. He can't be raised on this new bullshit turtle.
You can't allow your son to watch inferior TMNT. That's
like
all
everything
it.
About it, though, legitimately looks like.
I don't even think I watched any kind of TMNT.
Donatello didn't even look
fucking...
like he was that smart. He's like accidentally breaking his own shit. I'm just that's just what the fuck.
And the art style looks like shit.
Your obsession with like your childhood memories of Power Rangers.
Tim doesn't
Rangers
like the art.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cracks me up. Like it's,
it really just, it offended me.
I can imagine.
I watched the like introduction where they played like games and introduced you slowly to the characters.
Yeah.
On the it was so bad. Every single one of them. I was like an 8-year-old drew the fucking new turtles.
It's amazing.
Don't say nothing bad because your mom might see this. By the way,
she probably does. Mom, you know I hate the new turtles. You can't
can't hold this against me.
We talked about it at dinner last week.
She's the one person watching right now.
She's going to put you back under that table so she can...
You're just going to see a sandal like, boom.
She's going to put you back under the table so she can kick you.
That's my brother's. My mom never kicked me. Well, that's not true. She's going
to under the table. She's going to come to your house and just murder your pet.
Do you have pets?
No. But that made me think for a minute. I was like, no.
No, don't kill my fake pet. Somebody else's
house. Don't kill my imaginary pet.
Really sad.
Well, so this segment is the old man segment well. Anybody have any other news, though? Last minute, last chances? No, no.
Look at him.
He's homeless.
Homeless Avengers. Homeless Avengers.
So
feel homeless.
I don't get to sit and just like watch movies with like my friends or like with my kid very often,
which is exactly
sad Hulk music.
So no, it's not sad Hulk music. There's so many kids like around and like so much stuff going on. We're always busy.
This is Bailey's fault.
Honestly, 90%. Oh, whatever.
90% is her fault.
She said as she does chores to help around the house because she's a fucking awesome kid. Well, her bite me, she says. But so last night, you know, Bailey and Mel went to a roller derby thing in Denver, and they were gone till 11. The two little girls played outside all night, and then they went into their fort that they made on their bunk bed and just watched TV for like 2 hours and then fell asleep. And so Ashton and Tim and I got to just sit and watch Thor Ragnarok, which second time I've seen it. First time Ashton had seen it.
So good.
Genuinely one of the better Marvel movies right now. So just good. So funny. So
we will rebuild
stupid.
This place. The foundations are strong.
He's like, it's my birthday. It's my birthday.
Okay.
Like Doctor Strange is hilarious in it. Like Jeff Goldblum's hilarious in it. Like Cork. This is something I didn't know. Tim told me that Cork is voiced by...
pretty sure it's Korg.
Korg. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know why.
Cork.
But it was voiced by the director.
Yes.
Like, that makes it even more hilarious.
And he's going to be in the future movies, too.
He's awesome. One of my favorite parts of the movie.
Oh, for sure.
It's all right. It's okay. He'll just get cut out from the shows.
It's a circle. Not a regular circle, though. A weird circle.
More like a freaky circle.
Part was carrying around what he thinks is the dead alien.
Yeah.
Oh, he's alive.
Sorry, what were we saying, Britt?
I mean, it was awesome. It was fun to sit and watch a movie with my boy. And
oh my God, the hammer pulled you off.
So dumb. I loved it. But it was fun to watch such a fun, like, enjoyable movie with my son, listening to him laugh at stupid jokes. And I don't know, I enjoy it. Like Thor Ragnarok is like that perfect like teenage family movie, you know what I'm saying? Like,
we're giving it a rating. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up the ass.
Except for the big green Hulk penis.
Wait, what?
Oh, that's in my mind now.
No banner, only Hulk. Like small fire, looks like raging fire.
Yeah. I love that scene in the trailer. When I watched it, I was like, this is going to be a good movie.
And just the part where he's so excited to see the Hulk. I know him. I know him from work.
It's like, Loki, look who it is. Loki's like
oh, shit.
I need to get out of here. Oh man, we have no viewers.
No viewers.
That's okay.
Dave King.
Oh, one more viewer.
Oh,
one
more
viewer. He's back. Viewer.
Thanks for announcing it to break the continuity.
Hi, viewer.
Happening.
Hello.
So yeah, I think that's pretty much it though. I haven't had a chance to sit and watch a movie with my son for a while, and it was a lot of fun. So it's good.
It's good. It's good.
It's so weird. These moments are funny because I can take them out of the recording, but I can't take them out of here.
Forever now.
Yeah. Don't worry. Like 10 people have somebody commented now, so you have
no,
to say something.
No, just two people. Oh. Amanda's watching. That's an old friend of mine and my godson's mother.
Oh, jeez. Why do you let people watch things?
Why? Because I'm not the bad one. Fucking this guy is.
Said
right
the guy that just swore
here. This gentleman.
This one, are we all pointing at
Doyle?
The same person? He's not racist, but we know that because he would totally blow Shaq.
True. It's not true.
Oh man, so do I wrap up the show on Facebook Live?
Yeah, on everything, bro.
Okay.
Are we ready to wrap up the show for the day?
Yeah, I feel like it.
You gotta unless wrap it anybody, tap it.
Anybody else has anything?
I'm pretty good.
Well, I'm pretty good.
Well, I'm going to say this. You can visit us at www.totlb.com where you can find out more about the show. You can find all of our episodes. You can find our growing list of articles that include Doyle with his floppy copies, John with his comics coming out this week, me, I've got an On the Horizon and a... God, you guys are fucking distracting as fuck.
It's straight up like a 5-year-old kid right now.
On the Horizon, and then there are other podcasts where I review some of the podcasts I listen to, and you listen to What, which is a playlist of music. Thank you very much to the people that commented on my follow-up bands thread. I'll be tagging...
Yeah, go to our fucking page and do it.
Calm down. I'll be tagging all of you in the article. It's going to come out this week. I'm going to use a lot of your... suggestions, and I'm actually going to do this article in two parts because there were so many awesome suggestions and so many good bands where you look at somebody like The Clash and like Pill and Carbon Silicon – or not Pill, Bad and Carbon Silicon and Joe Strummer. And
fuck those guys.
Mescaleros. No, that's fuck just a different band. So. And like saying like this band broke up and turned into like these three bands is a lot of fun.
I know they're not because those are all real bands, but I like how you could just make up words and it would just sound the same.
Oh, they would totally sound like bands. Exactly.
I was listening to Oxycontin,
and, Bloody Band-Aid, and
I Bloody Band-Aid.
I'm sure they both are. Knee High's probably also a band.
But anyway,
Bloody Tampon.
That I know is
there's
a band
called Green Jelly. I mean, literally anything's possible.
They were called Green Jello before they got sued.
I remember
Big Bad Wolf song. Anyway, go to www.totlb.com to find out more about that. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, on Twitter or Instagram at @outsidelongbox. We haven't said this on the show for quite a while, but definitely if you are working on a project.
I'm going to finish this because my hand's getting tired.
Oh, good Lord.
Sorry.
Well, you jerk off longer than that.
not with my left hand.
Definitely, if you have a project that you're working on that
strengthen both wrists.
That you want to give some exposure.
Stranger danger. Oh,
Jesus,
tired.
Let me finish the goddamn sentence. Nope.
You need to thank Jeanette Goldstein, by the way.
Getting there. If you have a project that you're working on that you want to talk to the world about, please hit us up. We'd love to have you on the show. You can do that by contacting us at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com.
Send in your hate mail, and I will read it in a sexy radio voice.
And then you can also give us a phone call to, you know, express your displeasure on the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline, 970-573-6148. Please let us know anything that you feel about the show. We love getting your calls. They will get played on the air. We especially love getting calls from Jonathan Blackshire from The Lamp Show, John Clyde Still, John Jones from the old Still Radio.
No, what did we learn his first name? It started with an F.
S. I think it has to be Steve.
What about Samwise?
Samwise Gamgee. Samwise Gamgee.
What's his southern name that starts with S?
Sean, but he's spelled S-E-A-N.
He's he said that it's a famous person's name, too. Yeah.
Hey, Sean is a famous person's name.
I am
going
to say it right this time. Go listen to the old Still Radio show. It's a lot of fun.
Even though he's preemptively beefed with me, you should listen to his show.
I think it's because you were making fun of rednecks or something, I'm guessing.
Oh, dude, my whole family.
You make fun of everybody.
And, of course, Michael Kirk, who calls in ghost form every once in a while. We appreciate you guys calling in.
La Mesa, Texas, at best.
We need more Michael Kirk phone calls.
We do need more Michael Kirk phone calls. Chad, Ryan, Derek Doyle, Devin Taylor, Jason, Steve, thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon. We really appreciate your support.
506.
You can also support us.
No, that's our phone number.
970-573-6148 is the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. I'll go back to talking
your
about
your boss would be like, all these random people calling
bitching about some dude that's going to blow Shaq. What the hell is going on?
Something about something about fucking midgets? I don't know. What the hell?
Anyway,
all of a sudden it blows up.
Anyway, you can support us one of two ways. You can go to amazon.totlb.com, which takes you directly to the Amazon page. You can buy whatever you want that way, and it gives us a little bit of kickback. But more importantly, you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB, where you can watch our video today where we talked about Rob Zombie's
Dave King wanted to be added in, and I didn't see that. I'm sorry, Dave.
Anyway, you can watch us talk about Rob Zombie's movies and The Devil's Rejects potentially getting another sequel called Three from Hell. I guess not potentially, he started filming it, but yeah. That'll be on patreon.com/TOTLB for as little as $1 a month. You can watch our exclusive before the episode videos, and you will start getting early access to It's Just Terrible, or It's Just Awful. I forget what I wrote down as the name, where me and one of my friends sit down and talk about the worst movie they've ever seen. So after we watch it. So anyway, be sure to check us out. Patreon.com/TOTLB. We'd really like to thank our guest. Say her name for me.
Jeanette Goldstein.
Because I didn't want to mispronounce it. Sorry.
Jeanette Goldstein.
Yeah. Thank you.
Jeanette Goldstein.
No, I'm saying thank you. Don't
Jeanette
say,
Goldstein, Gabe.
I know. Okay, thank you, Jeanette Goldstein. I think that's the cue that I'm getting is don't say it wrong.
It's mistaken for a woman.
What?
It's from Aliens.
Yeah, oh, I didn't know what you said.
I'm not going to ask her that. I should not do that. That is an asshole thing to say.
But if she hit you back with the line.
No, the line is, do you ever get mistaken for a man? And then she fires back to Bill Paxton.
Oh, yeah, that's
do
right.
You.
That's right.
So anyways,
we're talking to her about Near Dark.
And I'll probably bring up Aliens.
No,
too,
I know you
because we watched both of them.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah,
but
cool.
We haven't done that.
It was also a pulp culture classic.
We have not done that interview as of us recording it right now, but I'm super excited. And I want to just say thank you very much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate
Jeanette
it.
Jeanette was amazing.
Yeah, you're
probably.
No, she was.
Stop. Just definitely. Stop. You're killing me. You guys are killing me. Anyways, one last time, visit us at www.totlb.com for information about literally anything having to do with this podcast. You can find it all there. For Thinking Outside the Long Box, this has been episode 83. I'm Gabe.
Whoop. No, I'm Doyle.
I'm Juan.
I'm Tim.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the
We love you, Dibbles.
Oh. We love you, Dibbles. This one was for you, Mike.
Rest in peace, motherfucker.
Yeah. We love you guys. Bye.
Feedback. Feed me. Feed me feedback. Feedback. Feedback.
Hello. Yes, I'm trying to get a hold of Doyle Daniels. He has a Klan meeting with me next week, and I wanted to make sure that he remembered to bring his book report on Oriental, The Danger from the East, and how we should build a wall in the Pacific Ocean to stop Orientals from coming and taking our jobs. Also to remind him that I will be bringing the cross, but I need him to bring the tiki torches. And the most important thing is, Doyle, remember, you got to wear your hood at all times. Just due to the fact that you look Mexican, I don't think I can sell you as a sun-tanned white guy anymore. So hood up, talk with a little southern accent, and we'll be good. Don't forget, it's next Wednesday night. Our KKK chapter meeting, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Bring your book report. I got the cross. You bring the tiki torches. Thanks, bud.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.